cannot do introduction. There's only one member that has joined the committee, Honorable Lovemore. I think she has stepped out. Earlier on, she indicated that she's working again, so she'll be in out of this meeting. We're hoping to get a presentation for less than 30 minutes, engage. I think we can just budget an hour for this meeting. Unless otherwise it's not still 1 hour.
Okay.
It can be less than an hour. So the minister, we're going to hand over to you. You will introduce key people that you feel that they must be introduced. Also talk about the formal transfer of SSA to your department. So that formally you should know the portfolio that it has been transferred to monitoring and evaluation. Previously it was in finance, but now it has changed. So you're welcome, Minister. Please take us through the report, the annual report.
Can the Commissioner please down? Why the Minister is
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and other members of the Portfolio Committee. With me, I've got the Chair of the SSA and the Acting CEO, as well as the Acting DG in the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, as well as the Executive Chair of NYDA, the National Youth Development Agency. Honourable members, the Ministry of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation has executive authority on three main entities: the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, the National Youth Development Agency, as well as Statistics South Africa. I just needed to just emphasize that SSA had always been reporting directly to the Minister of Finance, but in 2009, with the creation of the Ministry of the National Planning Commission under my previous cabinet colleague Trevor Manuel, it was then transferred and accountable to the Minister of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. The mandate of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation is to institutionalize planning and to strengthen the linkages between planning and monitoring and evaluation functions. Monitoring and evaluating the implementation of the medium term strategic framework, according to the report that the 2012 government as well as parliament approved the national development plan. So when the new administration last year came into office, we then started the process of having the first 5-year plan to implement the national development plan. So the medium term strategy framework is actually a practical program of action decided by government to start implementing the NDP, which has about 40 outcomes which are synonymous with the thematic themes that are indicated in the National Development Plan. I thought I needed to emphasize that point. We also are mandated to improve the responsiveness to the needs of the public and also enhance ability of government to deliver on its mandate. On the other hand, the mandate of the National Youth Development Agency is to lobby and to advocate for the integration and mainstreaming of youth development in all spheres of government, the private sector and civil society, to initiate, implement and facilitate and coordinate youth development programs, as well as to monitor and evaluate those development interventions across the board and mobilizing our youth for active participation in civil society engagement. On the other hand, the mandate, I must maybe emphasize this as well, that even though I'm presenting this, but SSA in terms of legislation is an independent institution, but just for convenience of understanding the time constraints of the portfolio committee, otherwise the SSA would have made their own separate presentation, but it has been distributed to the members of the portfolio committee. Their primary mandate is to produce and disseminate quality official statistics that is in line with the United Nations Fundamental Principles of Official Statistics, the African Charter on Statistics, as well as our own law, the State SA of 1999, in order to support evidence-based decision-making, policy formulation, monitoring, and evaluation. I must say, colleagues, as well, that I'm very satisfied with the excellent performance of State SA, not only in South Africa, but they are like a trailblazer around the world. When I was at the United Nations the General Assembly 2 weeks ago, it was very evident that the expertise and the professionalism for State SA is sought after. They are the lead agency in Africa, assisting in the quantification of Agenda 2063, and they played a pivotal role in the assessment of the Millennium Development Goals and the creation and establishment of the Sustainable Development Goals. It was very evident then. In order to be effective in our planning and implementation and to ensure government programs impact positive on the youth, we need quality statistical evidence which CSSA must provide, and to this end, we have initiated a process of operational cooperation among the three entities. GPME as well as CSSA are as well in developing a cost-effective way of producing real-time statistics that will assist planning and monitoring of the following government priorities. Performance for the year 2014-2015. We are very happy that with excellent audit outcomes that have been achieved by GPME, a clean audit for 3 consecutive years, NYGA, for the first time in their history, a clean audit. So they can keep the good work, no more parties. CSSA, I need to record that for the clean audit for 2 consecutive years, and in the first year they have a qualified audit. In terms of GPME achievements, we have recorded good progress during the period that we are reporting. We have managed to translate the National Development Plan as indicated into the 2014-2019 medium term strategic framework that outlines key government programs and activities to realize our vision 2030, and this was approved by Cabinet in the Booster of August 2014. And further, the Department has facilitated the development and signing of performance agreements that are based on the MTSF between all ministers and the President, and serve to enhance accountability in government. We have also assessed all national and provincial strategic and annual performance plans and provided guidance regarding alignment to the NDP and the MTSF. Colleagues should also note that treasury instructions were amended subject to make sure that all submissions to the Ministers Committee on the budget, the Department of DPME had to satisfy themselves that what is being requested is in line with the National Development Plan and the MTSF. In collaboration with outcome coordinating departments, the DPME tables quarterly monitoring reports on progress in the implementation of the NDP. The Cabinet uses these to identify challenges and measures to address whatever challenges that come. We also support the President in driving Operation Pakisa to improve planning and implementation of courses and programs. Courses may be aware that we have the successful launch and conclusion of the Operation Pakisa for the ocean's economy as well as health, and at the moment we are busy with the Operation Pakisa in the educational sector, and next in 2 weeks time with an Operation Pakisa for the mining, of which the chair is aware of the trip we took to Australia together with your colleague MP Dombe. Other achievements, there was made good progress in evaluating the impact of productive programs of government policies and projects that are critical for the attainment of our vision of 2030. In the period under review, 6 evaluation reports were completed and submitted to Cabinet. To date, A total of 39 evaluations are underway, covering around 50 billion rand of government expenditure. Key findings of these evaluations conducted in priority areas such as basic education, health, economic growth and job creation are being used to drive improvements in these areas. We are also assisting 5 provinces to develop provincial evaluation banks. In terms of the realization of an efficient, effective development-oriented public service, which remains a key focal area, we also try to enhance the ability of government to deliver on its mandate. And in this regard, we have assessed 96% of national and provincial departments through the Management Performance Assessment Tool, the MPET. I do understand that your committee would like us to present on this sometime in November, and they will be available to give more insight on what is happening on the MPET. We also assess 30, which is in excess of our targeted 20 municipalities in accordance with the local government municipal assessment tool. And also we're promoting responsiveness to the needs of the public as a key objective of the work. And in this line, both the frontline service delivery monitoring program and presidential hotline have been implemented. In 2014, a target of 90 unannounced visits and 120 follow-up visits were set. 123 municipalities were visited, and also 123 visits were also conducted. 55% of the facilities that were visited, facility managers acted on the recommendations of the improvement. We have also produced 39 case studies from complaints launched with the presidential hotline and 4 complaint trend reports. On the citizen-based monitoring, in the past year, 18 frontline facilities with over 12,000 citizens interviewed and more than 750 staff surveys were conducted. These facilities have included police stations, health facilities, social security agency service points, to mention quite a few. And also to implement the National Development Plan regarding the NYDA to address the challenges of youth, the DDMA initiated the development of the National Youth Policy, which is now called NYP 20. The policy was thoroughly consulted with all youth formations in the country and was launched in June 2015. This NYP 2020 also includes policy proposals for optimizing youth development machinery for effective delivery and responsiveness as part of the overall effort of developing a capable and developmental state. We also support the President as the podcast champion of the African Union Presidential Infrastructure Champion Initiative, PICI, and in particular the North-South Road and Rail Corridor. This initiative advances the agenda of the Agenda 2063. I need also to record here that the heads of state in their meeting in January of this year decided that South Africa must be a hub for manufacturing of rail locos. So we've seen they assigned Brava and Transnet in order to create that capacity in order to drive this manufacturing hub in Africa, and there's good progress that is being made there. Other achievements of the NYDA, 1,000 on the truth of the economy, 1,034 youth-owned enterprises received grant funding from NYDA, 52,915 aspiring and established entrepreneurs were supported through the NYDA Business Development Services, and 4,143 jobs were created and sustained through NYDA grant funding, cooperatives and business development services. On education and skills development, 5,319 young people were enrolled in the SHIG Rewrite program. 2,342 young people participated in structured youth build programs, and 937,949 young people were provided with one-on-one group career guidance sessions. On service delivery, 100% of all service delivery targets met, and the achievement of the highest organizational performance in the history of 93%, with more than 1.2 million young people receiving youth development information. On realignment of the organizational, structure the MNTA's initiatives and organizational restructuring and that would seek to align the human resources with the vision, mission, mandate of the organization and would result in the reduction of the salary bill of the MNTA from 189 million rand to about 46% of their budget to 127 million at 1% of their budget. When we were here last year, there was an advice and caution from the committee that we need to change this balance so that the bulk of the resources must be directed to actual programs on the ground. So I think this is a positive trend towards the attainment of advice and governance. The improved governance of MITA is being reflected in the audit report with the reduction of irregular expenditure from 133 million rand to a meager 508,000 rand. And the reduction in matters of non-compliance from 10 to 0. During June 16 in Soweto, I was very impressed when young entrepreneurs, they came there in Soweto, gave their own experience with the MITA, which is extremely positive. They came there indicating the type of financial support and technical support that they're getting from MITA. On this SA, measuring changes in the economy, SA has published 28 statistical releases and reports on agriculture, mining, manufacturing, electricity, construction, trade, transport, government, finance services. Measuring changes in society, SA has published 38 statistical releases and reports changes in the population, employment, living conditions, service delivery, poverty, vital events, education, health, and crime. Community survey, it has modernized survey methodology for improved efficiency and effectiveness, better, faster, and cheaper. On your special information frame, 14.8 million dwelling points of geo-reference, and have also initiated a process for the strengthening of the South African National Statistical System that will ensure coordinated and inclusive physical production, dissemination, and use by key organs of state. I understand that every other day, SA releases that of one form or the other. So maybe your committee chair must also follow that so that, because it's very useful information that can also empower your committee to monitor government performance from your committee. In conclusion, Chair, we believe that we have tried to do well during the period under review and going forward and to enable continuous improvement, there is a need for adequate allocation of financial and human resources. So we rely on your good selves to impress upon those with financial resources to give us a hand so that we can continue trying to do our best. Lastly, we wish to thank your members of the committee for your continued support and guidance. So that's the summary of the three reports. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. We welcome the report. And also wish to congratulate the department in adhering to good governance practices. I think the Auditor General also shares the same sentiment. And also congratulate the NYDA for their first ever claim for the support. We're hoping that they will be able to sustain that. We don't know that your good guidance and leadership, we know that they will be able to sustain that. Members, questions? Maybe also in relation to the meeting that we had this morning with the Auditor General's office. I think the minister and his colleagues from the department are ready to take your questions. Maybe let me start. One of the issues that the Auditor General's office has raised with the particular committee in relation to your office, Minister, they still feel that they are not adhering to the payment of service providers within the prescribed time. We want you to lead by example, since you are the custodians of this program. So if you expect other departments to pay service providers, what else you're not doing that it's a big problematic for us. They also say that you do not have systems in place to ensure the smooth running of the department after the end of financial year. Can you hear? Yeah. And that's there once if an end of financial year kicks in, then everybody seems to be very confused, not knowing what to do. Probably you'll clarify us if you're telling the truth or not. One other thing that you have left in doing is to review your human resource plan. It is prescribed that the human resource plan are reviewed annually. And the IT issue, I think it's for the whole government, this one, but we're having an evaluation at least on this issue as well. I'll pause there and allow members to also ask questions. If you don't mind, we'll allow members to pose questions, then you respond. Okay. Manikoma, you'll be the first one.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Water Minister and your team. Just to take the cue of the chair in terms of your the audit report for all entities, even the new kid also. Because we are it's much appreciated, it's not proud. We really appreciate that. Looking up from the IT issue from the chair that he raised, the issue around the risk setup in terms of recovery IT system, which of course is throughout our government department. And I'm sure that the ICT, whatever, mitigated charges, all that is working on that one. But I'm just saying that we need then get as DMA to pay more attention on that matter. The other one here that I would love to raise, that the age raise through the chair minister is the feeling of cancer. In terms of the law structure, although it's very confusing that the AGDs are read moving forward, they will also separate the report in terms of DPLA and the DPLE when they bring part of the committee on history, not like dealing with history. But in terms of the lower management, the top management, we did have an issue to raise on the trust. I'm sure there's a good explanation, but one just get to know where is the issue and how do you intend moving forward to deal with that with all that aspect. In relation to that, they raised the issue of like an ongoing concern around the 2011 class investigation. I'm sure that you will also see a slide, although there was some little bit of some disagreement on that issue based on our in terms of our experience and what the agency say. But he, I'm sure the chair will conclude that, but I don't want to take what he said is moving forward, how we're going to deal with that. our performance, if I use ours now on TDMC, our performance and management systems, they are not up to the stretch, so that there is a continuous assessment and performance of our plans moving forward, which then lies squarely on your office my apologies on the manager. So would love that one. I like the presentation also it talk about the performance management performance conduct sign with the ministers, all ministers. It does have a link one way or the other. Probably then as an oversight in implementing agents in terms of the NDP, I would like to get something on that change. Which is kind of associated with the day. Other than that, I'm here in terms of the previous my objectives of this main set and also the financial behavior. I'm sure the chance to is really the issue of financial compliance, the self-court in terms of supply chain. Although the other issue around that one is where you find that the officials within the department, they don't submit that invoices on time, then it does have it does impact them in terms of their closing of their end of March to April, in terms of a smooth transition in terms of the income financial year, in terms of the books and the systems that have been made. Once more, thanks NYK to you, Minister.
we really appreciate that, and I'm sure that you will be worried about that one, including the Department of Land. Thank you.
We've been with the Auditor General of Japan, and issues of perpetual deficiencies were indicated that some departments, not only this one, are still affected by the cases and terror. What I want to say is the department, what options does it have in terms of the outcome that the deficiencies that are identified by the Auditor General? Does the department say that the opinion of the Auditor General is fair to them? Are they happy with the outcome of the Auditor General's report? Do they feel that is there something that could be done to address that? And then I think I'm fine for now.
Thank you, Chief. And I don't know if I heard the Minister say initially when he looked at the NYEA Nobel parties, but I believe there was quite a party on the 15th of September when they got the news of the clean audit. They even got the Deputy Minister to come and make a speech and so on. So please, we want to draw the Auditor General's attention to that. Congratulations from my side as well, Chair. And I think it's no secret that the Auditor General, in the briefing that we just got, actually was quite complimentary and said that even where, you know, we're still trying to achieve clean audits, that it's really within grasp. It's so quick and easy actually to do, achieve that. There are just two things that I want to quote from the first one, from the annual report of the DPME on page 132. I see there's a reference. It's note number 19, accruals and payables not recognized. And in the previous financial year, the total of these accruals, meaning the service providers that were not paid by year end, stood at 2.2 million and it's now gone up to 3.6 million, which a quick mental calculation tells me is a more than 50% increase or weakening of the payment ratio, or the speed of payment, as measured at year end. So can we get a commitment from the department that you know, this trend will be reversed and that you know, we will not have the same problem? We will also tell them, you can see there in the financial statements, that more than R1 million of that has been outstanding for more than 30 days, which is matter of concern, and especially that figure seems to have increased considerably. Then the second one is just the reporting on achievements. The Auditor General drew our attention to the fact that sometimes some of the achievements that were reported on, and obviously, you know, put us with confidence and so on, were actually achievements outside the time periods, outside this year. And that is apparently something which the department should just tighten up to make sure that, you know, when they say we've achieved this in the last 12 months, that it's really an achievement for the last 12 months and not something which was achieved afterwards. So, and then there was there were these words that do raise a little bit of a concern. Commitments made in previous years were not implemented due to slow response by accounting officers. I believe the accounting officer referred to here is no longer the accounting officer. I think there's been a change. But I believe it's the minister that must hold the accounting officer to account. And can we get that commitment
that commitments made will be kept in the future, and that we will be able to see the AG report on this more favorably when we have the next annual cycle. Thank you for that, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Honourable Minister, Mr. Rajiv here. Just a couple of things on the NYDA. Indeed, I agree with you on the governance that, you know, from 133 million in terms of your regular expenditure, having reduced to 5.8, it's a good thing. But I wouldn't call it meager, because it's still 100 million. Regular expenditure. So I would not encourage the young men and women in the NYDA to sort of sit on their laurels and think that the committee approved of half a million of irregular expenditure. And whilst we are on that, the National Youth Development Program, they set themselves five targets. They achieved none, and none of those were actually achieved. Can you just clarify what happened there? And for me, one of the important things, and I agree with the minister here about the department, the realization of efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, this clearly would be done in conjunction with the DPSA. But the point I want to raise is to do with MPEG. There's a certain truth that we should get. There's been a delay now in the production of the one for the 14-15 year, but that's just something that the minister can remark on. What I'd like to get at is that 96% of national and provincial departments were assessed. Now that's good. I mean, only 12% is not. The issue that always comes up is that we have done the assessment and then can we say, because we have assessed them, we have now found these shortcomings and we have taken remedial steps to make sure that we have 100% improvement in terms of what we have the efficient, effective, development-oriented public service. And I raise this question in conjunction with the issue that was raised by the teacher. And I always raise it also with the DPSA and the Public Service Commission. And I come to what the AG said earlier on, this is what he said. Other than plead, scream, and use a lot of red ink, in other words, when they do their report, the AG's report, they presented them to the department, and all they seem to be able to that they can do to make sure that these things that they highlight are corrected is that they have to plead, they have to cajole, they have to do it. Because he says, I don't have a badge, in other words, I'm not a policeman. I don't have a big stick. I can't beat these people up. Mister, at your door, that's the department's responsibility. What can be done? What can the department do to make sure that these departments do implement those recommendations that are supposed to be implemented so that we can actually achieve this efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. It is a drug that we have that we don't seem to have consequence management effective. Thank you.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much, Honorable Minister, together with your team, all your meetings and your agencies. And in the MIT, mine just goes to your mandate, bullet number 3, which is about the monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of the medium-term strategic framework. It's not a question as such, but it's more of a recommendation that says, you hear the members on this side talking about all the other outcomes of all the opinions by the Auditor General because of the failure of the coordination of what is on the table now, which is the medium term strategic framework, which is supposed to be used by the Auditor General or coordinated, the auditor needs to coordinate
the instrument that is there with whatever outcome. According to the Western scenario, we do understand that he takes this outcome, he gives this outcome or opinion based on what has been submitted to him. But now the question is, our department, all of them, because now as a captain, you're in charge of all the departments, national and provincial, our departments really, really do understand that instrument, this is the NTSF. Do they understand how to implement it? Do they understand when they submit receipts, whatever, to the Auditor General, that they have to align it with the minimum specific choice? Because it's a document that's been approved by cabinet, and supposed to do that. And as a result, we don't see that happening. And every time we listen to the Auditor General, there is so much loophole within the Auditor General itself. We told you today, your report doesn't seem to have consistency and some accuracy. It's unfortunate that the departments are not here today themselves, but we are picking up this some lacking of information somewhere. Now, that I want to align it to Honorable Minister through you here, with the SFA. Now that the SFA is within your parameters, looking at their programs, I think they were six, but I can't remember whatever programs they've got. One of their programs, they need to ensure that they give the schedule with those outcomes of the NTSF from the department. That's information, that's data that you need quarterly rather. Quarterly, so you don't get what Honorable Mudau is saying. Otherwise, everything has been evaluated. What are the consequences so that you are able to know which is department to them? So, if you will, then you are not remedy or you have to have consequences. Now, and we also have to look at what is saying to the Empress. You know, it's not like the focus is with the minister. Honorable Chairperson, I think your department, Honorable Minister, is supposed also to look at the DGs. Because how, if I may ask the question right now, how many ministers have evaluated their DGs? What was the outcome? Those that did not evaluate their DGs, why not? Because those are the people that are sitting with our fiscal, those are the people that are sitting with our administration. So I'm saying the collaboration between your department and being in charge of the staff then is going to assist us to say there is an alignment, there is an evaluation, and then we are able to do the monitoring. Because this, the complaint from, we do get information but nothing has been done, I don't think we can tell you that nothing has been done, nothing was done about whatever happened. The problem is that maybe the reporting as such is a problem. And your department needs to assist us because we are also looking after the PSA, be able to tell you that PSA, there is a problem. So that's why I'm saying mine really is not about a question. I'm recommending, I'm proposing that from the information you got this morning, also the aging was successful for limited, but I think basically you can assist us so that there is coordination. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Chief Manager. We allow the second point. I'm concerned in the minister's report you said that there were 123 facilities visited and then wonderfully they revisited those facilities to just monitor whether recommendations were followed. I find it a bit upsetting that of the 123, 80 apparently responded positively, but in 43 of the facilities, the facility managers did not act on recommendations for improvements. And my question is, what are the consequences for those managers that did not respond to the service? Because obviously, means that in a third of all the business, fun was wasted, money was wasted. And I think we will all agree that we can have the big plans, but on this day, with the public is served, the public see the impact and the difference, you know, much of our work is made. So, we find a lot of reporting, we find a lot of, you know, reports were produced on this and that, but what is the consequences? When will people be held accountable for ignoring the recommendations of one of the entities of this department? Thank you.
Madam Minister, refer to issues that you raised during the quarter presentation. And as a result, we compared monitoring and evaluation as a hack for public status. And you know, it was interesting that to read and compare, you know, the function that they had place, you know, in the human body. And if you take that and compare it with monitoring and evaluation, you see that they are, what functions are similar. And if you can start comparing yourself to the heart, you understand how important it is. You know, your central food, the body will survive without you. Everything depends on you, you understand? But what I like mostly is that it will not. Yeah. It may count, so it needs must be felt everywhere you're going. In fact, I'm not in the mood, I'll give it again, but I'm not in the mood today. Let me give members an opportunity for them to have a second bite so that when the minister responds, they then summarize and move on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then my notion.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was just about to share with the Chair certain whether he did give permission to. The feeling of vacancies is one of the steps challenges. Is that human resource well capacitated for this task? And what causes the delay in doing so? Regarding the NYD, we are NYGA. Whether, as we speak, for the problems that they've just worked with, do they have the capacity to give it what I'll call the last push before the end of the year? I mean, that's regard to your progress, especially in the rural areas. And then my next work share is the management of the residential outline. Do we, with this problem, have a health linkage with the municipality? Or so to speak, an effective linkage with the municipality, because that's where the problem occurs. Is it well coordinated, consistently? Is it consistent? Is it effective? And then to start again, the quarterly release on financial statistics of the municipalities is a noble idea. It's a noble initiative. What are the outcomes of the financial statistics in the municipalities? How does this information contribute in measuring the financial performance of the municipalities? And I also want to check whether how much sound involved in this process. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Page 9 of your
slide,
Mr. Minister, I see that this local government municipal government model, it sounds very interesting. We've never had a presentation on it. I don't remember seeing it anyway. And then I want to know how is it being received by municipalities, and the impact of it, given the fact that we have 275 local municipalities, 275.
284.
Okay. And then we've only assessed 30. What's the time frame? Will you be able to go through all the municipalities? Well, how to say, before local government of the Algerian said to you, But in terms of you completing the assessment to the all municipalities. And then on page 10, the citizen-based monitoring. And every time you speak about it, you know, citizen-based monitoring, so far you've only visited some 18 frontline facilities. Is it for this current financial year? Or 2014? Oh, okay. I want to check over the issue of capacity. And then how effective this citizen-based monitoring system is given the number of what is the cities delivered for the project in the country, and then what informs your vendors? What criteria do you use? To which area do you need to visit? And yeah, okay, that would be all from the book.
Something you said about the citizen-based monitoring. Feedback. I mean, it's fine to have this feedback on the department's website, but we live in a country where many people don't even know what a website is. Is there any other way in which the department can facilitate this kind of feedback that your ordinary citizens would know what the department is? You obviously that has goes to research and stuff like that, but maybe that's something you can
see. Sure. I think I opted taking from what honorable is raised now is an issue of our marketing strategy, plan, communication strategy, and the relationship of GCIF. I just want to ask second chair, what is the role of GCIF? So what I'm thinking, I think it's supposed to be the same thing, government, all departments, but you will inform the convenience regularly. Last week on my right. There's a lot to talk about. Branding of NYDA. You know, we have conducted the oversight and there are good programs that we are doing. But you know, in one business we found a big prepare Nashua or what was it, Nashua or what?
Architect.
Yeah. And then we asked them, what is your relationship with this company? Nothing. Are they giving you anything? No. Who's funding you NYPA? But there's no way where NYPA is visible, you know. That's more funded by NYPA. You know, another practical example, there's a guy who runs a funeral trust in Soweto. He's funded by NYPA. Between Thursday and Sunday, he meets more than 5,000 people because he runs funerals from Thursday to Friday. If I were to do that to 7 days of the week, it would be more than 5,000. That's right, somewhere at the bottom of his contract covered by NYPA. Because, you know, it seems as if NYPA is not doing anything. However, there's a lot that they are doing, but they're not branding themselves. So we want to also, when we negotiate for a budget, that must be clear to their budget. Madam?
I can
hear Tunugale. Tunugale, one day. You know, it's for the NYDA, Honorable Minister, I think Tunugale. You know, who has first? Was a higher education or whatever education? We are second level, we are second level. Right? If we can actually try and, I don't know how, I know we don't have, even if we're doing okay, but for, you could see that the NYPA is trying, it can reach only 5,000 rewrite the chief students, or I don't know what they call them, but something was that totally they rewrite in the chief. It is 5,000, and if you think about the number. So I know, because they have the service, the committee, that they are developing other branches to do this, so that they're able to reach out on the rural, on the rural areas, and to be able to go in there and reach those kids, and tell them it has been a go boo, a go boo, you know, those places. So indeed, really, we are saying, as we do our head, I'm sure if they did the world needs that way. If anything, to no guarantee.
Thank you very much, Chair, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, for your comments as well as your question. I'll deal with the more broad ones, and I'll ask HFA to respond to the issues that pertain to their portfolio, as well as NYTA and also the officials of the department. But I forgot to indicate that with what the Secretary of the National Planning Commission, Mr. Maduna here next to me, who's also an acting chief of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. On the issue. On the issue of payment within the prescribed time, maybe we should come and brief the portfolio committee to indicate actual statistics of the progress and sometimes the lack of it from national government departments and provinces. The latest statistics, I don't have the figures with me there, but it's here in my iPad. It does indicate that there is a significant improvement, and DPM is not one of those departments that does not pay statistics. Our statistics are completely different. I don't know if she told you. But we can provide, but I even have these statistics on Friday when I was making a presentation in some forum.
In fact, when he reported this, I deliberately said people back. So that's like where you're saying DPM is not adherent to the 30 days payment to service provider.
But we will provide the information. On the issues that I'll ask the official to deal on the issues around the HR plan IT. And then on the issue of filling of vacancies, we have a vacancy ratio of about 9%. And part of the initiative that we have, as colleagues are aware, that we are now having a new department called Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. We are dealing with the issue of a new organogram to create capacity in order for the department to be properly and strategically positioned to play its role in supervising government performance in terms of service delivery. We come back to you to indicate the strides that we are making there. We did have time to explain on the thing of agreements. The president signed agreements with all ministers in order to hold them accountable for the 40 outcomes that are indicated in the medium-term strategic framework. Ministers in turn have to sign performance agreement with their DGs and heads of department, and it must be cascaded downwards. The simple reason for all that is that there has to be consequent management in the event of lack of performance. That's why those agreements are there. On the issue of let me give more time to the status in NY Gang official, then I'll come to the end.
Yeah.
I thank you, Minister, for the opportunity. And Honorable Minister, the first question I think arises from page 137 of our report under financial and performance management. And I think Mom Bishoma is asking us whether we agree, we are content with the findings. We know them, we understand them. And what important is what do we want and what are we doing about them? The fact that has happened has been the understanding of where the challenges come from. And I guess more than the issue of skills and competency, it is about also building the culture of reporting and making sure that measurement becomes the culture and the order of the day in how we do our work. And that is what we are working on. Firstly, we have started to look at the process of holding each other accountable as the executive. But this report and the findings from the AG do come to ESCO and we discuss them and try to also inculcate the culture of paying attention to the details in a manner that would allow us to improve the content of what we provide to the AG. So in our learning check, these are some of the undertakings that we have put into place that this report will form part of our agenda in our ESCO. Secondly, we have also inculcated a culture of making sure that when there are some of the EMs that do not provide information, we have started to issue what we call non-compliant letters that go through the DDGs to that EM. And we are hoping that such exercises will be able to ensure that we improve our level of accountability and ensure that we are not seen to be doing malicious compliance to provide the information to the AG. And that's how we are hoping that this will improve when we use it as part of our executive direction and making sure that we deal with these issues on the AG. The second issue, I think, the important issue that arises from this report for me is the relationship between the AG and the department. And that needs to be strengthened in a manner that as much as it is an oversight role, a better understanding of our work and a better understanding of how we respond to the questions that come from them would be very critical and important. And we have the committee that we work with them and we hope that some of these delays that we see, we will be able to start to create a better relationship that's enforced. There is a question around the filling of vacancies, which I will ask the DDG for corporate services to assist. But of importance is to understand the nature of statistics South Africa, the professional environment, where every time we fill the positions, you have people that have been waiting, let's say, for 30 years. So when one person moves, you find that the next person comes from internal. So you have that segment type of vacancy, while we are also looking at other strategies to start to look at building and growing the trees from below using interns and so on. But DDG will be able to give us the better details on that. The third issue is the quarterly release on the financial aspects for municipalities, and I would like to ask DDG Joe DiPier from Economic Statistics to assist on that. And the KTS, the DG Corporate Services, would tell us the job.
Good morning, everyone. With regards to vacancies, I think the big question was do we have the capacity and the skill? And perhaps why? Because confidently say yes. We have a high turnover rate at the lower levels. That affects business and the way we recruit professionals, graduates, who come in there with a BCom economics, the BC statistics, they come in at the level 6, which is not a very important.
I don't think you understood the question. If the feeling thereof, which I think you have covered, is sufficiently so, because the reason is that you turn around the feeling of that in
there. There was a follow-up question with the Honourable next door to you, who asked if we have the capacity or not to fill these vacancies. So I'm responding to that particular portion of the question. But just giving context also to the fact that we have a high level of graduates that we bring in from universities who stay for an average 6 to 9 months and they move on, they want to get the paying salaries. So we have this constant churning As of 31 March of the 9% that we had reported on Honourable, 49% of those posts that make up the 9% was already in the recruitment process. We have an average turnaround time of filling a vacancy of 6 months. But as we fill one lead, so this churning, and we're continuously working at it, even working over weekends and public holidays where we have to, because this is what we need to do to make sure we can deliver on our mandate. With regards to the investigation, I guess you want some clarity on what the investigation was about. The investigation ended up as a dispute, or it became an investigation because it ended up being a dispute between Stats SA and the Auditor General. We then asked the Accountant General to come in because the Auditor General was saying that they flawed the procurement procedures. I restate so that everybody understands it was around procurement procedures. It had nothing to do with any invoices or anything like that. Everything was paid. It was a matter of was the procurement process followed in a fair, transparent and efficient manner. We have got the reports with us between ourselves and the Accountant General's office. We were busy under discussion because if it was a forensic report, the report should not be saying it may seem as if. Because then you end up with an investigation of an investigation, which for me is fruitless in the process. However, we are working with the Office of the Accountant General to sort out and get clarity and find the detail and way forward on the report, on the outcomes of the report.
You know, Chairperson, I just want to endorse this because the next day, which is maybe tomorrow, we're going to read about this in the paper which are misleading the South Africans. That's what we were saying, Honourable Minister. Now this is the Secretary. This is what we were saying, that the finding of the Auditor General, the report they're talking about, the investigation they're talking about, it may be an incident of a 2011 census. And because I was in the department, I know exactly what happened. And but the way the Auditor General is reporting on it is like the negligence of not following the investigation of procurement. So maybe as executive, we need to sit in the cabinet and discuss this with the respected AG himself, because this thing we cannot take it. It gives a wrong image.
I think you prefer to tell us who's supposed to respond on what, so that you don't have to keep on coming back to you. Can we please quickly do that?
Thank you, Honourable Members. I would like to respond to the question on the quarterly financial census of municipalities. The server primarily has two important users. The first is as an input into the development of our national account statistics for GDP. The municipalities form quite an important sector of the economy because they involve so many different industries. They're in water supply, they're in electricity supply, in service production. So we need to get an idea quarterly on what's happening with the finances of them. But we need to stress that we report quarterly on the financials as reported by the municipality. We don't have a view at the same time as whether the money was spent appropriately or not. We just know what money came in, what money went out, and how we use that in the accounts. TALGA is a very important user, both in terms of giving us input if we want to make changes to the questionnaire, so that the resulting reports will include more information, as well as the analysis of the data. We also find that when we do workshops at the different municipalities or district municipalities and we show them how the municipality's financials look compared to the sister provinces or the averages for the municipality, it's quite useful for the municipalities to be able to judge themselves against so many sized municipalities. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. and Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. There were four questions pertaining to the NYCA. Firstly, Honourable Motau, well, I think our zero tolerance approach to irregular, wasteful and fruitless expenditure has really put us on a positive trajectory. And we think that, you know, the last year, the reduction from 133 million to 580,000 is quite significant, but we we currently are sitting on zero for this financial year. So we are committed to ensuring that it remains zero, irregular wasteland fruitless as we go to the end of March for this current financial year. On the issue of the five targets, those five targets on which I will refer to the UTF in the presidency is unfortunately not NY data. So we won't be able to comment on those. There was a question from Honorable Ntombela on the capacity.
From which I've seen adjustment. Those not like a big contingent, those were two people. The two individuals.
On the issue of capacity, we think that the new structure is going to better capacitate our 14 branches and 178 local youth offices, with more, especially more training and community outreach offices. We'll now be on the ground, deploying to communities, and the current target is to reach 1.2 million young people in rural areas with some kind of product or service information. We are sitting on 800,000, and we think that in the next 4 to 5 months, we should be able to reach that target of 1.2 million. Because of our improvement in governance as well, the services seats have also given us about 40 million to recruit interns, to pay the stipend, so we have more local youth officers, being receiving stipends, doing youth development work, in partnership with the services sector. So we think that we've got enhanced capacity to reach more than just the 1.2 million. And then the last question, Chair, was on the branding. We take note of the need to improve our branding and communication strategy. We will be doing that based on the input from the committee, and we see that the additional funding should definitely, if it does come to assist us, to brand our work better. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'll deal with the issue of vacancies and capacity. I'm going to ask Ms. Norma Sata. She's responsible for outcomes monitoring. I think most of the questions around the assessments, citizen aid assessments, municipality assessments are in hand. Area, I'd like to speak that, and then I think the CFO will just come in and reinforce the position around the financial performance. That should be a question that was now around approvals. But let me on vacancies. I think we accept that it has always been an important priority of government, because without the necessary capacity, especially where resources like budget is not, we will not be able to deliver on the money. So we accept this as a priority. In fact, if I'm not wrong, one of the indicators that MP assesses was the feeling of vacancies. So we accept that. The current vacancies in the particular context, it's because the department over the last year has been undergoing a process of putting together different components from different areas. But say the presidency, the shifting of the youth program to the presidency, the deputy minister, and so on. Now, the grading of some of these vacancies has different. So there had to be a grading process, top evaluation process, and for new positions, some of them had to be undergo screening, as well as the security clearances that are required as part of the process. But it would have had the effect of slowing down the rate of filling of the queue. So it's a challenge. We accept it. We will work on it. Going forward, the head of HR litigation may be able to speak to that. Around the HR plan, I'm not aware that there was a delay in submitting the HR plan. I think I've been in this position the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've signed the HR plan, I think, for this financial year. So,
thank you.
Yes, I'm not aware. We will attend to that as well. That's one that I signed to each other plan.
I think with the area of performance management and consequences is another important area. So from the medium-term strategic framework targets, those have to be drilled down to performance agreements of heads of departments. And then of course, those have to be assessed. And now the assessment of performance of the particular heads of departments is a big challenge. Many departments have gone for years without being assessed. I understand that that responsibility has been shifted to the CPE because we are responsible for oversight of the priorities of government through the NTS Act, and therefore we can assist in doing an assessment of heads of departments. Because if heads of departments are not assessed, the likelihood is that some culture of performance management and consequence management in the department will be weak. This is an area that is a systemic challenge which we will need to address. I think maybe at this stage, let me ask Nolavi and the CFO.
And then I don't know, Petali, if you want to speak to the HR chair.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I'll respond to about four areas. The first one is that pertaining to realizing the outcome for an effective and efficient public service, the area of focus is indicated in the PowerPoint presentation now on impact and coaching. We would like to, if possible, come and present on coaching. That's the Jefferson's indicators. The MPES, as I understand it, and the presentation in that regard is scheduled for some time in November. Just two key points I want to raise about these two. The primary focus is on saying what management practices must be in place for us to ensure that we've got a capable cadre of officials that can deliver on the mandate. Another point that will raise an issue around the tool is as good as the extent we should keep using to drive improvement. We are probably in the fourth year of implementing the MPES now. And consistently what we have seen over time is this. One, there are specific strategic areas that need focus for us to be able to see that government departments deliver on their mandate. It is varied performance across the different departments in terms of the extent to which they are configured in the proper way for them to deliver on their work. We have always sought to ensure that as and when we complete the MPES results, we engage accounting officers on what has come through, what our findings are, and how we can use the key findings to drive improvements over time. What I just want to say here, Chairperson, as a bit of digression, is that there are significant overlaps between the MPES and the HE, and what we have found comforting in recent discussions as convened by the Minister, is that there seems to be synergy in terms of what we are finding coming through, progress or changes in that regard, in terms of the way in which departments do what should be done in the right way. But we can discuss this further when we come in November to table fully the MPET results, inform you about the improvements that we've got to make. Just the other day, we tabled a separate but aligned report to cabinet. It was basically the evaluation of the MPET system. And one of the key messages that came through as an area of improvement for us going forward is as much as we engage the accounting officers in this matter, we should also engage the executing authorities in terms of what comes through from the MPET system. The SG mean the Chairperson asked, how has this been received? Where have we gone? Chairperson, this area is one of those where we know what needs to be done. We would like to build on this, but I think like a few other initiatives we are responsible for, it's largely affected by our limited capacity as a department. So what we've got to do is to build our partnerships with relevant stakeholders that operate in this space, with specific reference to DCOC, with specific reference to the issue, with specific reference to treasury. We've developed a tool that, if I lack of a better way of putting it, is almost a sister tool to the MPET one. We look at management practices in national and provincial departments through MPET. The LGME one is specifically tailored for the local government space. It's been well received, but as the Chairperson indicated, early days. we've exceeded the target. We targeted 20 for the previous reporting period, but we managed to assess 30. Our view is that more can be done. We have to look at how we do the best we can with the limited resources we've got as a department. And what we've also got to do is to look at the extent to which we can maximize on the linkages between Elgin and the Better Basics program that is so large in goal. But this is certainly an area that will grow going forward. At an appropriate time, we can table the Elgin mega indicator, and I think it's also opportune that we bring the necessary together. It's necessary that we also bring forward the citizen-based monitoring work. We started it as a pilot. The chairperson asked why and how do we select where we go. In essence, we looked at points of service where our people go, and the key message is to say, how do we maximize on the mandate we've been given to ensure responsiveness of the public service and hear the citizen in terms of his or her assessment of the quality of service. This is what these tools assist to do. It takes a different angle from the frontline public delivery monitoring and the presidential hotline, but checking with your guidance, we can also bring that. Now, lastly, questions were raised around the frontline service delivery monitoring and the concern around the percentage of managers who did not implement improvement based on the findings. This remains a key area of focus of ours, and we believe that 65%, whilst it's not an excellent mark, is actually really good. And we want to build on that. Our sense is that this tool can only be effective to the extent to which we make sure, as we try to do, for all of the facilities where we've gone and looked at frontline service delivery, we go back as we can be. Engage management on our findings, and then indicate on a regular basis the extent to which they've shifted from the key findings that we made and whether they're making any progress or not. Now, to take it even a step further, because we go to all of the processes for this frontline service delivery monitoring, we are working with the President's office and we table report on the frontline service delivery monitoring and presidential hotline as a peer management tool, because as honourable members are aware, in that committee it is chaired by the president, it's all of the premier and relevant accounting officers. So I want to table the extent to which both the frontline service delivery monitoring tool and the presidential hotline are avenues for citizens to log in their complaints. We assess what types of complaints they raise, what is the resolution rate for the presidential hotline, is it what it should be, how do provinces compare against each other. We table that in a meeting convened by the president for premiers to indicate the extent to which any progress made in that regard across the different provinces. I am probably drawing to an end now, Jefferson. The only last point that was raised, I think, is the point by Madame Honourable Member, where she spoke about the importance of ensuring that we constantly strengthen our monitoring on the implementation of the MDP. And we use our position as determining both on the report to cabinet to indicate on progress being made, but the extent to which we also assist departments to fully understand what they've committed to. Honourable Member, my view as the Minister indicated is that we have made really good progress in terms of ensuring that departments own the translation of the National Development Plan to the MTSS. We work with them, we lead it from the centre, we ensured that both in the MTSS and in the performance agreements by the ministers, there is a clear articulation of what each minister, either is coordinating or supporting, is expected to do. So when we go to cabinet, it's about saying our quantitative assessment is that during the reporting period, this is the progress that has been made. But we've always also said we do need to communicate that better to the public. Does the public really know that actually we've made so much strides in terms of health and realizing that outcome? Do they realize that notwithstanding some of the challenges in education, we are making progress? We are owning up to some of the challenges in economic growth, but there's a lot that's being done to drive the infrastructure development agenda and so forth. But what also happens is the president also has performance monitoring engagements with the members of the cabinet, and what has also started with, which has also been supported by yourself, It answers DPME and specifically the outcomes monitoring and evaluation branch, being called to portfolio committees to table a report on our perspective on how departments are performing, not only on the annual report, but the extent to which they align their strategies and APPs with their outcomes and the extent to which they can improve on them. Our concept at that assessment is that this is so critical that it must remain always work in progress. And in having cabinet approve this, our messaging was that every year, based on developments as they arise, and when necessary, the MTSS chapters must look at on the outcomes to say what must be factored in for us to concentrate on going forward. Maybe let me stop it. Thank you, Chapter.
If the head of public service students reported for 1 hour, definitely would say that it's non-functional. So you can see it now. Yeah? We do the thing. Certainly, ideally, what would it cost a government to have a fully fledged functioning monitoring and evaluation, well capacitated, whatever sort of that, or cost of that department, you know, to run and make sure that you are everywhere, people know about you. Because the fact that now we will also be overseeing local government. I see you've done some work there already, such as...
I don't have the figure with me, but...
what do you think?
I don't want to preempt it because...
You have connected the bandit.
Yeah, you see, there is a poll call win.
There
is a poll call win.
From this point, to be want you to be at that stage.
There is a poll call win. That is why the president is clarifying the mandate of the DPMT. I think in the next month we should be seeing some improvement.
Next month.
Okay. In terms of the steps that will be taking in order to give capacity both human resources as well as financial and logistics in order to ensure that the DPME can play a full role of monitoring the performance of government as a whole. Maybe last point before we close the meeting, I just wanted to make one point about the Auditor General. I must say that since I came into this office last year, I've had two meetings with the Auditor General late last year and also about 2 weeks ago. And in those meetings, we did not discuss DPME because even though we didn't say it, but the assumption was that in terms of the performance of DPME, there were no matter that required us to look page by page. They sort of giving me a report of the performance of government as a whole in our capacity as people have to monitor it. So that's the content of our discussion and how going forward his office and our office to cooperate in terms of all the operations of the two offices so that we complement rather than conflictual in terms of So that was our meetings, I thought I needed to indicate that. But in view of the comments that the committee has made, I'll make sure that I have a specific meeting with him in order to discuss specific matter of DPME and YDA as well as SSA. And on that point of SSA, I would recommend that maybe the committee must invite SSA so that they can give you the full presentation of what they do, the challenges that they are facing, not only what they do in South Africa, but across the world without indicating to it. They are being engaged by the AU, OECD, as well as the United Nations. And there is a very good work that they are doing. And they are always buying foreign travelers by them that are being sought over all over the world to do this benchmarking, to give information how to support other countries in trade. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of our meeting. It took us 2 hours to actually give you a result. In fact, maybe next time we'll try and... Yeah. Oh, questions that were not responded to, you can submit them in writing. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You again. Saturday, you like me. You follow me wherever I am. What is your problem?
They're all rogue.
Out of the country, to receive an apology from the EP, Minister was here this morning. She also had to leave due to other arrangements. We hope that she'll come back and join us. There's a format that we have requested the department to present on, because if you could say everybody must present, then take the chaos and you will not finish. So we want one presentation that touches on all entities to save time. We don't want mission and vision, we just want issues that are related to, in fact, new things, you know. Because if you look at this compared to the particular report, we are ahead. Already you have presented on 2015-2016. So this is just a revision. In fact, we're doing it for compliance. So, President.
Thank you, Chair. I know the fact that the Minister can't be here today. And I don't know about the officials, but my impression has been that this meeting was scheduled in Fair Hazard. But can I put on record that we would like the Minister to come? I think he would have loved to be here himself to present his annual report, but that we make extend a special invitation to the Minister at another occasion to come and speak to us about, you know, the annual report and the way going forward, especially as we now have a new incumbent in that position, you know, new incumbents and new ideas, and I would appreciate it if we can invite him at another occasion.
Okay. Yes, we'll do that, but we submitted his apology long time ago, you know. In fact, in writing, especially when he received the invitation to come for this meeting, he has already been scheduled to travel abroad. So we do accept the apology, noting what you have just said. Yes, we'll make an invite him. And then I'm trying to... Who's leading the delegation? General? You're welcome. And take us through the presentation as outlined to avoid everybody presenting, because there's going to be different challenges. Okay. All right. Over to you, General.
Honourable members, Chairperson, thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity. I am not sure if I'm able to present for the entire portfolio. I was not informed of this. I am presenting an annual report for the department, if you will bear with me. But I will try to run through it very quickly. Can we go to the next slide? The report is going to cover the overview of the annual performance as reported in 2014-2015, the overview of the financial statement for the period, overview of the program performance for the quarter, and then the second quarter report was completed and submitted by the 30th of October 2014. If we move to the introduction, of course, this is an overview of the EPFA's performance against the 2014-2015 annual operational plan and 2014-2015 budget. The annual report has been audited by the AG. It was submitted to the National Treasury on the 30th of August. It was came to the Parliament on the 23rd of September 2016. The next slide shows the overall performance. The green part there shows that we've achieved 9% of the target and 7% of those were partly achieved. We've got a plus minus 56 targets, of which 52 were achieved. If we continue on the next slide, the Niger Development Achievement for 2014-2015 financial year reflects represents a 16% improvement from the previous year. If you look at 2013-2014, it was at 77%. The year before it was at 32%, and before that, 47%. If you look at the performance in terms of the program, the overall performance is 90%. Most of the programs achieved 100%. Save for program 6, program 2, and program 1. And I will explain why as I go through the presentation. The next part looks at the audit opinion. We received an unqualified opinion for the 2014-2015 financial year. There were no material misstatements that were identified in the annual financial statement, and there were no findings with respect to the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information. The audit confirmed the department's achievement of 92% of its planned annual targets for 2014-2015 financial year. There was also no emphasis of matter was received for the TPSA, and attention is however drawn to the fact that the Center for Public Certification was exempted from certain separate financial statements. As a result, all the TPSI transactions are therefore included in the financial statements of the TPSA. In terms of compliance with the legislation, the human resource plan of the TPSA was not reviewed, and they were raised as a material non-compliant by the AG. We have, however, since fixed this, we've reviewed the HR plan, and we've developed an HR plan for the period 2015-2020. The AG also raised an issue with regards to the breach evaluation criteria that was too broad. We've again fixed this, we've implemented the revised criteria that are clear and specific. If you look at program one, the demand management plan was submitted to National Treasury and implemented. The annual financial statements were submitted to National Treasury and the Auditor General on 1st May 2014. The implementation of every plan to address audit findings database was updated and presented to the Audit Committee. The draft program of action for 2015-2016 on outcome 12 was developed and it was taped for noting at the GNA Cabinet Committee, which was held on February 24 this year. And we also presented a progress report to the GNA Cabinet Committee on the same day. The rolling 3-year strategic internal policy plan for 2014-2017 was developed and submitted to the Audit Committee for approval. To continue with that, program one, a report on the implementation of annual internal audit plan for 2014 was completed. Also, the risk rating system and the monitoring report on the risk management and submitted this to the risk committee. We produced a quarterly report on the legal advice and support, and this was submitted. The department's quarterly employee equity report was also submitted to the Department of Labor. The Information Technology Governance Framework and Risk Management Plan have been developed and implemented, and the IT Disaster Recovery Plan has been updated. The 2015-2020 Strategic Plan and 2015-2016 Operational Plan were tabled in Parliament on 11th of March 2015, and the 2014, as well as first, second, and third 2014-2015 quarterly reports were submitted to National Treasury (DPME) and the executive by the required deadline. The 2013-2014 annual report was submitted to the Accounting Office and National Treasury, as well as Parliament in September. The highlights of the department are at the end of the term were profiled through a number of communication and campaigns. On program two, where two reports on the median time to fill posts and the average college vacancy rate were submitted to the Minister of Public Affairs and Administration. The average vacancy rate academic December was 14.16, and the median taken to fill this post by 5 months. During the period of 1 October 2014 to 31st December 2014. Now, the reason for this percentage, which is rather higher than the norm, is that there's a number of vacancies in the senior management, and these were explained by the fact that we underwent the restructuring process, and that process has not been completed. A report on developments with regard to the provision of reasonable accommodation and assistive devices for public servants was also submitted. Support on the implementation of federal action policy was provided to National and Provincial Department and will provide a report to the teacher. The next program, which is Program 3, Labor Relations and Remuneration, is implemented Resolution 1 of 2012. And we monitored and provided reports to the Minister for the Service and Administration. We sought mandate from the Mandate Committee for the next round of negotiations. We also reported on the disciplinary code and procedure by National and Provincial Department, and this was submitted to the Minister. We implemented the service charge, we popularized it, and engaged quite a number of departments to get their buy-in. A report on the charter, on the implementation of the charter, was also submitted to the Ministry and Portfolio Committee on Service, Public Service Administration. We have developed a business case for government employer scheme, and we submitted this to the Minister for approval. A progress report on the implementation of the scheme was also submitted to the Minister for Lodging. We've also drafted a remuneration policy, which has been developed and consulted at PSCPC. On Program 4, which is the Public Sector Information and Communication Technology, the analysis of bandwidth and uptime was conducted on a quarterly basis in 56 strong centers, and the report was submitted to Government Information Technology Officer as well as CITER. The IT expenditure of government was monitored and expenditure review report was submitted. The candidates to keep the public service ICT cost within or below retail levels were also identified. We have given advice to the Minister on the move of shareholding of CITER to the new portfolio. Advice was also provided to CITER on the process and development of conduct for the re-establishment of the transversal terms and the Department of Water Affairs on transversal contracts costing switch. We've also provided this report to the Digital Council as well as the Ministry. The monitoring report on the implementation of governance of ICT framework by National Provisional Department has been submitted to the DG, and mechanisms to contribute towards reduction of security risk have been identified in the report on the public sector ICT security monitoring, as well as incident and processes and good practices that is submitted to the Digital Council. The e-governance strategy has been developed and submitted to the DG. 5 CIO meetings were convened, resulting in the development of an action plan reflecting on 2 different functions of Digital Council as per the cabinet resolution. Continue with Program 5, Service Delivery and Organizational Transformation. The geographic accessibility study for 2007 spent and paid identified provinces has commenced, and a report of the study was submitted to the Ministry. They will advocate the workshops in 9 provinces, and 73% of provincial departments attended the workshops. We also empowered plus minus 560 employees during this process. The compliance monitoring report on the implementation of the approved organizational structure of the selected clusters of health and social development. So the first participant has been submitted to the Minister. The financial operating system has been consulted and submitted to the Minister for approval. We conducted sector advocacy workshops with health, education, and human settlement, and a report has been submitted to the DG for motion. We've also made a submission for quality service delivery improvement design by National and Provincial Department, and Money Chart has reported on this, and this was also submitted to the Minister as well as Cabinet. The report on the assessment conducted in the health sector service delivery site is submitted to the DG on the heads of the first stage. Conducted advocacy workshops on implementation of the complaints and complex framework for the Bakwanya School for the Center and Kumala and Mpompo Express, and a report has also been submitted to the Minister. We also conducted workshops on the citizen engagement guide in the selected provinces of Northern Cape, Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as in Kumala, and a report has been submitted. We've also done the traffic management framework and implemented this in the Northwest as well as Northwest Health Department. The framework on professionalization of the public service was submitted to the Minister, and the second annual Quadrupedia Service Award was hosted in November, and the implementation of the awards and recognition system has been monitored in the Northwest Department, and the report in this regard was also submitted to the Minister. On Program 6, we've done quarterly reports on the status of establishments and key indicators for each national and provincial department, and produced and loaded on the village on the website. The research concept document and framework for the design of the research instruments and tools have been developed. Management framework for the government, one-stop shop, has been completed. And the development of regulations for the Central Public Service legislation and also the facilitation. The next one is Program 6, which is government. Here, the public sector advocacy framework, implementation support are provided to the department, and a monitoring report on the implementation of submitted to the Minister. Also, produce a report on the usage and effectiveness of the e-digital system by national and provincial departments, and this too was submitted to the Minister. We had exchanges on bilateral and institutional relations at multilateral forums, and facilitated well and looked at some of the lessons from this, and these lessons were documented. The national and provincial workshop was conducted on the African peer review mechanism, second generation country review methodology, and process. The next slide looks at some of the areas that we have achieved. One of them is discipline management and procedure. In terms of this, although the procedure has been developed, we failed to monitor and report, but this has since been corrected. We also reported this at the level of National Labor Relations Forum, which is a quarterly forum which includes national and provincial departments, and the forum is there to actually monitor discipline. In terms of the alignment, in terms of the review and alignment of the public service human resource development strategy, we're supposed to produce a new strategy. There was a delay in the finalization of the review of the previous strategy, and that led to a delay in the review of the new strategy. This has since been corrected. We now have a new framework, and it has been submitted to the Minister. In terms of the support to a better 35% partners assist with the implementation of core employee health and wellness policies through workshops, this work was done. We failed to report as per the required period. We have, however, since corrected this, and the report has been done. The next area relates to dissemination of citizen report cards filed to the central communities. This was partially achieved. The report for the remaining five national departments have not yet been disseminated, and the strategy for determination of the report, including the implementation of the report department. By the end of March 2014, the report department was not confirmed on the request for presentation meeting by the CPSA. The next slide looks at the financial expenditure program. Our allocation, or rather the total budget, is 875 million rand. Of these, we have spent 810 million rand. We have 61 million rand, which is available, and this represents a total spend of 93%. If we look at the financial expenditure in terms of economic classification, again, the figures have not changed. If you look at the classification, there you've got compensation, goods and services, as well as payment of capital assets. And again, they were reflected an expenditure of 93%. Now, what are the reasons for some of the variances? Well, the first, during the 2014-2015 financial year, the department reprioritized the phases in order to fund the procurement of office furniture for the new office accommodation, as the initial agreement with the Department of Public Works was that the DPSA will move in the new building in 2014. Unfortunately, this did not happen and will not move. It is projected that we'll be moving in December 2015. But this resulted in the savings of the funding that was prioritized to fund the procurement of the new furniture. In terms of program 2, here the spending is within a certain level, and if we look at program 3, we allocated funds for the user license for the case management system, and this could not be done due to the project that was not started. We also have savings generated from the public service remuneration review, which was established, and it was anticipated that it would be finished in the financial year 2013-2014. However, the work of the Commission has since been extended, and once again the Commission has put in challenges in appointing staff, and the work and therefore delayed, which resulted in the 2014-2015 funding, which was not utilized. We have requested a rollover from the National Treasury, as the term of the Commission has been extended to April 2017. A bid to appoint a service provider to conduct the review of the pillar modality was advertised twice. Both bids were cancelled because the applicant did not meet the minimum criteria. The new terms of reference were reviewed and amended, and the bid was advertised again. And we have since, and again, in this instance, we received a bid that were not responsive. An alternative way of obtaining responsive bids was considered, and a decision was taken to follow the route of a closed bid. These delays, however, resulted in the funding for the project not being spent by 2014 financial year. We have therefore requested a rollover of the statement. The next one is program 4, which is Public Information and Communication. This program underspent allocation due to payments not being made to CEDA in relation to particular case consent and the connectivity of two software systems. And this is explained by the fact that we don't have a service level agreement. The order further underspending resulted from the past sponsoring of the Government Chief Information Office of Summit Court and the cancellation of the two workshops which were planned to take place in February and March of 2015. The department successfully negotiated exemption for re-establishment and transfer gender status, the ones that are reflected there, thus resulting in the savings. The spending, however, is within acceptable levels, and the slight underspending which resulted from delays that were experienced in undertaking a study of access to Tucson and service. As the work is now undertaken at a lower pace than initially anticipated, 6 months delay where the school has been pushing the timeline out to Oakhurst, and we've also requested a rollover. There are further buildings that relate to tenant installation at the Center for Contract Innovation. The National Treasury granted approval for the CPSI to become an independent government component from the TPSA, thus resulting in CPSI being allowed to create their own corporate services, unfortunately. This has resulted in additional office space being required to accommodate additional support staff. The negotiations with Public Works commenced shortly after the approval for the CPSI's independence. The procurement instruction was issued. This process was, however, delayed due to restrictions on the procurement of additional space that may not exceed 20% or less of the existing lease. Unfortunately, the CPSI has not been informed of this beforehand. As a result of this delay in the finalization of the procurement of the office space, the anticipated expenditure could not be incurred during the 2014-2015 financial year. Again, we requested a rollover. On Program 6, which is Government and International Relations, the spending in this program is within acceptable spending levels, although there is slight underspending. If you look at APRM, we experienced a delay in the procurement of the service providers to conclude the second generation consolidated rollout report due to consultations on the nature of the service required. The appointment of the service provider to develop an open, the open government partnership communication as well as market strategy was delayed, and there was no particular provider to be found during the initial bidding evaluation process as a result of the bid that had to be re-advertised. Now, if we look at the performance of the first quarter, the first quarter report has been verified by internal audit.
General, members, is that first quarter 2015-16? Because we have received a presentation in that regard, so I don't think it's going to be a fruitful exercise for the purpose of this today's meeting. Thank you.
I'm chairman.
Thank you. But DG, yeah, you are DG anyway because you are here leading the delegation. For me, I'm sure that moving forward we'll deal with this one. You just made a presentation in respect of public service innovation, Center for Innovation. But you said we are not going to report on entities. I'm not too sure how it is going to be, but it doesn't matter, we'll continue. Who's following now? Before taking account of your entities, right?
Well, the reason for that is because their budget is still within TSA.
I'm saying in terms of presentation, who's coming after you?
I'll be guided by the chair, but I'm assuming
it's okay, fine that Mahathir is over to you and chair, you will take the seat. Thank you. While she's settling, maybe I'm a support to members. The reason why I've been running up and down is that earlier on when we started with this presentation, we've noted that the minister is not here, the deputy minister is not here, the DG is also not here. And I've checked with the secretariat, the Dr. Tuli. I've contacted with them to check the standing of this meeting, and they have advised that we should continue with this meeting because there is no way where it is written that the minister or the deputy minister must be present when the report it is tabled. This report is theirs, it has been presented to them, so they will take ownership of everything that is happening in this meeting. Okay. All right. All right, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. I note the time pressures, and I'm going to be very brief, and I will just focus, since some of the presentation has been done by the DPSA, I will focus on performance, just the performance, because 87% of the 30% that was not achieved. I will explain later how, but before I do that, I just want to quickly go through some of the highlights of 2014-15, and also just the sense of the kinds of projects that we've driven. I will start with the Cooperative Inland Waterway Safety Program, which was piloted at 3 national dams, cutting across 3 or 4 provinces. We developed a toolkit, which included the construction and operation of wash bays for boats that come, for boaters, when they come to the dam, they drag invasive plants into the water, and that compromises the quality. It also reduces the holding capacity of those dams, and we thought that the cost for sorting out the mess runs into billions. So we had this wash bay constructed. We've developed a whole toolkit, which has, in fact, we had to bring together 5 departments. Department of Water and Sanitation, Environmental Affairs, Transport, SAMHSA, and SACS. We had to bring all of them together to sit around one table to look at their mandates and the internal linkages around this issue. And so the Department of Water and Sanitation has been able to develop, they've been able to develop their resource management plan throughout the country. And they are now busy working on the implementation, but for the first time they've been able to develop with the guidance and the assistance of CPSI. And there's an element of job creation. People are going to be employed. In fact, 12 are already employed around these dams. And remember, there are around 300 dams in the country, and we envisage that if 3 dams are employed, that is going to make a good contribution, at least 1,000 posts. And will be created. And we have found that the program has gone and provided an enabling environment, or created an enabling environment for Inland Pakisa, for the Inland Pakisa project. And we've been approached by the presidency through the Office of the Deputy President to continue to play a substantive role on Pakisa, and we already working with them, advising them on. And you will find that there's issues around demarcation on the dam, so that fishing is not interrupted by water speed, for instance. In the past, there's been accidents where people would be quietly fishing, and then the water speed would come across and disrupt. So there's a number of good. We had an incident management system developed as part of this toolkit, and it was rolled out throughout the country. We actually funded the pilot. And as I said, the interdepartmental collaboration has been strengthened within this. And then we worked with SAPS and the Innovation Hub, which is also a government entity, a housing entity, to reduce SAPS response time to incidents of crime by linking that low-cost alarm system directly to sector policing vehicles and community policing forum. And to cut a long story short, it has been reported that the crime in Deep Float, where we piloted, has dropped by 9%. Then the results have been received positively, to the extent that an additional 560 units have been installed. And I've spoken to the reduction, and that the political commitment replicates has been noted in Gauteng, the Gauteng social cluster concerns rolling out the solution, community safety, education, social development, and in Northwest community safety. And the teleradiology radiology model was replicated from KZN Gauteng, and that is the e-health solution. And to put it simply, it's x-rays. And normally patients go in hospitals that don't have specialists, radiologists, go to a hospital, they have their images taken, and then they have to travel with them to the next hospital for help and so on. Through this project, they don't have to move. They go to one, and the images are sent, the X-ray are sent electronically, and the results are sent back in the same way. And so the saving of cost on both governments, because ambulances were being used to ship patients between hospitals, that has, this project stops that, and then a patient sometimes still feeling with all the discomfort, had to pay for taxes and stuff and so on. And there's a lot of time savings for both the patients and health professionals. And also it has reduced, it's reducing that burden on tertiary hospitals. And we are working on the energy efficiency model. In fact, we have developed that energy efficiency model for hospitals. And we are in the middle of the pilot at the Helen Joseph Hospital in Gauteng, and the Department of Infrastructure in Gauteng and the Department of Health have come on board to ensure that once this is completed and we secure funding to complete the pilot, because we need quite a bit of money. But what is expected is that there will be savings of 3 million per hospital per year once this is implemented. And the AIDS public sector innovation conference was held, and it has become a very critical platform for cross-sectoral sharing innovative ideas and solutions, and a lot of replication and scaling up initiatives actually come from the engagements within the conference. And the awards program as well, which is, it's a full program which starts beginning of the year, but it means, it, for instance, this year we've drawn over 100 entries, and we were able to make site visits to over 30 service delivery points, and these are the awards system ceremony is going to be held at the end of this month. But it is a great source for many projects that get replicated and scaled up, which are service delivery. And an example I can give, a case that in one of the award winners, which was a road traffic project from KZN, resulted in a number of school kids being given licenses before they leave school. And what has happened is the driving schools have also taken over. Some of them are actually putting these children to institutions of higher learning. So there's always good spin-off coming out of this project because we form partnerships with the people that are in. These are other examples where we have government departments that have started their own awards program, and we encourage them to be independent. Therefore, Department of Correctional Services, Department of Transport, and many others, and premier offices around the country. And the general ideas that will become a critical source of public administration content for academic institutions. There was a time when they were using fictional or and international foreign case studies for teaching, and we had discussions, numerous discussions with other administrations. Now we have content that is developed in South Africa because we prioritize case studies, public administration, service delivery, case studies. And we have partnerships with academic institutions. We go and make presentations, they come and visit the Multimedia Innovation Center. And we did develop that Leading Innovation in the Public Sector module, and we collaborated with the National School of Governance and the PCSA to have it NQA aligned, and it is within the package that is offered by the National School of Governance. The Multimedia Innovation Center has become extremely important, and just about every, say, 3 times a week, we host government departments that come to use the equipment and the facilities there to revisit their own processes and the way they deliver services, and they're able to change and engage and embrace the future. I've spoken to all of these in terms of, you know, as highlights. Now, I think I would prefer that I stop here if the chair, if the honourable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's get the cool
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Public Service Commissioners, colleagues, thank you for this opportunity. I'll go through it fairly quickly as you've requested. Just to give the outline of the presentation in terms of what you're trying to report on, the annual report, the second quarter, the NDF issue. The mandate to talk to the mandate around training and issuing of diplomas and certificates and the delivery and funding model, cost recovery, and the legislative development. The strategic outcome-oriented goals are specified here in the slide. I won't go through them here, but I'll go straight into the program and budget structure and performance. Administration deals with the Office of the Principal and the corporate management, as well as the Office of the CFO. Program 2 is public sector organizational and staff development. It facilitates the transfer of payments to the trading account for management development and training of public sector employees. And we have training policy and planning. We have training management and delivery and specialized services, which includes curriculum design and development. In September 2014, the Public Service Commission undertook a study on the effectiveness of Palama training, and it indicated that Palama is addressing the skills shortage by designing programs that are meant to develop employee skills. There's relevance in the training offered, and members of the SMS have the view that training has had a positive impact on the performance. The study did recommend that the NSG should conduct a holistic assessment on capacity building programs for SMS, assess whether current performance management and development system is assisting in identifying, addressing, and improving organizational performance, and implementing measures to foster positive attitudes to serve citizens professionally in line with budget TV. This deals with the number of persons trained, as reported in the annual report, and it amounts to about 39,000 persons trained. This deals with the summary of performance, and I think the major issue here of concern is the performance by the training management and delivery section, where net targets were achieved and targets not achieved. So I think that's the area of concern, which is actually training delivery. In terms of performance, just to look at some key highlights, departmental policies were developed, 15 of them, and approved. The tailoring of strategic and annual performance plans, the work on a website, the organizational risk assessments that were undertaken with action plans being developed, the contracts and service level agreements for outsourced service providers that being managed, the international capacity building partnerships and programs, and the deployment of the disaster recovery solution. The Office of the CFO, all payments were made within 30 days of the receipt of invoice, 8 verification orders for inventory and assets were performed, the conceptual documents on the funding model, the 100% compliance with National Treasury requirements on procurement, the outstanding debt, which remains high, with departments still not making payments for services rendered, and that's why we have now issued a circular and we have moved to a prepayment from the middle of this year, July. on training policy and planning, the approval of the M&E policy framework, 62 on-site evaluations with 100% of all programs and courses monitored through reaction evaluation questionnaires, 3 application of learning study of 3 programs completed, the State of Public Service in Africa report produced and tabled at the Amazon workshop, the African Management Development Institute Networks, that is. A comprehensive report on compulsory induction program was finalized, and the final report of baseline study conducted for the legislative sector was presented at Parliament and submitted to the legislative sector. In specialized services, 3 new programs and courses were completed, 18 existing programs were reviewed, and 14 were quality assured. The NSG was accredited by the QCTO, the Skills Development Provider, in November, and at an assessment center in February this year. 20 e-learning interventions were undertaken. In training management and delivery, the Executive Development Program Certification ceremonies were held in April and May of 2014. 128 managers were awarded the certificate in executive leadership. The NSG convened a series of one-day workshops. The NSG was selected as the preferred service provider by the South African police in the training of 245 officials in supply chain management and a number of other issues. Partnership was also established with the National Treasury with a commitment of 500,000 rand for the funding of the training rollout of the Standard Chartered Accounts and Economic Reporting Format for practitioners. Training session conducted on the UNDESA Toolkit on Disability for Africa. A successful public sector training forum was hosted in Gauteng in November, and the NSG supported government initiatives on youth development, and a total of 1,670 rural unemployed graduates benefited from the joint initiative with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. There are clearly areas for improvement, and we have briefed the portfolio committee on the options being piloted and the gradual shift towards the provision model with the use of internal and onboard training capacity from within the public service. We also acknowledge the need to strengthen on the marketing side, and we are committed towards a new approach. And we also are at an advanced stage of the training capacity development program, where 775 public servants from provinces have been identified and trained as facilitators for the compulsory induction program. We are gearing towards achieving high volume training, especially through e-learning. In terms of HR, this gives the numbers of employment and vacancies by program and by salary band as well. The vacancy rate obviously needs to come down, and indeed is coming down in the current year. On employment equity, we are compliant in terms of the female-male ratio at SMS level, 50-50, as well as in terms of persons with disability, 3% of our employees. Also, there is some non-compliance when it comes to the signing of the performance agreement, but at the top end, there was full compliance at the DG and DDG level. This is a summary of the financial performance and the breakdowns for Program 1. these are the budget funds allocated, compensation of employees, and it talks about the increase due to salary adjustments from 32.2 million to 36.9 million and the decrease in goods and services based on the implementation of the cost-cutting measures of the National Treasury. And then the increase in expenditure on capital assets due to the replacement of aging non-compatible computer hardware. Program 2, the transfer funds from the book to the trading account increased by 13.3% from 49 million to 55.5 million in 2014-15. So this is a summary of financial reporting on the trading account, and it is the revenue from exchange transactions and the revenue from non-exchange transactions, which is the transfer from the budget funds into the trading account. So, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, do understand the training trade account and the standards which govern it. The total revenue decreased from 158.1 million to 149.8 million. That's a 5.3% decrease. And that's driven largely by the inability to meet the trained targets that had been set. Total expenditure decreased by 9.1 million, mainly attributable to the decrease in operating expenses because of the low training interventions that were conducted. But then compensation of employees increased. It's mainly inflationary related and the fact that vacancies were filled during the year. So the trading account closed the year with a surplus of 2 million in 13-14 and a surplus of 1 million in 14-15. We achieved an unqualified audit report for the seventh year running. There was no environment requested. There was, however, irregular expenditure, which was declared and condoned because no financial was lost. There was non-compliance in terms of the approval process for deviations. So in future, we will ensure that all officials are aware of the processes required and that corrective action is taken in cases where there is non-compliance. There were no public-private partnership contracts during the 14-15 financial year, and all official assets captured in the asset register comply with the minimum requirements as set by National Treasury, and then all payments, as indicated, were processed within 3 days. Moving to the current year, we have already reported on the first quarter, so I won't repeat the strategic outcome goals or the strategic objectives for program, or even the targets, because these have been presented and discussed extensively with the committee in the last meeting. But maybe just to summarize the performance over the last two quarters, a total of 8,199 public servants were trained in all streams, with confirmed bookings standing at 17,800. The revenue generated based on the cost recovery model over a six-month period amounted to 22.2 million. As indicated, we have now implemented the system of prepayment. It is resulting in improvements in payments by department, and prepaid confirmed bookings for quarter three and four amount to 15.8 million. As part of the trainer capacity development, field testing has been done on the lead facilitated development program in relation to the reorientation program and the citizen-centered service delivery program. And as reported, we have commenced with the piloting options, and we will also be piloting a major intervention around e-learning on performance management as part of the performance management pilot. Then we successfully hosted the PST conference in Kimberley last week. On the budget allocations during the MTS, as we discussed with the committee, we cannot continue the contracted brokerage service in order to support the South African Capable Developmental State initiative in terms of the National Development Plan. And this will require policy shifts, including an overarching training policy, as well as amendments to the existing public service-wide PMPS to enable public servants to become training facilitators. We also need to broaden our focus in terms of the PAM Act on local government education and learning, and focus on expanding work in the legislative sectors in response to the demands that are coming from the legislatures. We do require further ICT investment to support the extensive training coverage, particularly mandatory programs, as well as expanding the depth and reach. We will require fully fledged campuses, classrooms and infrastructure supporting education and learning, and that will be the most critical additional requirement in the next MTEF. This just deals with the numbers in terms of the current allocations and the MTEF, both on the voted fund side and on the trade side as well. The recommendations, Honourable Chairperson and members, that the Portfolio Committee notes the performance of the National School of Government for the financial year of 2014-15, as confirmed by Parliament in the unqualified audit issued by the Auditor General. Some of the institutional challenges in meeting performance targets and improvement areas going forward. On the 15-16 financial and non-financial performance, it's recommended that the Portfolio Committee notes the second quarter performance. And on the MTF allocation, it recommends that the Portfolio Committee notes the pilot programs are being implemented utilizing the existing budget, but that post-pilot implementation will require additional resources, which are currently being costed and which will be discussed with Treasury in November. So in conclusion then, we remain committed towards improving the skills capacity. There are a number of areas for improvement that have been identified for addressing in the current financial year, and these improvement areas have been shared. And just to quote the late Minister Chabane, with the emphasis on the fact that the difference between the National School of Government, what it does, and what universities do, is that the National School of Government is in the business of transferring knowledge within the public service workplace and ensuring that public servants are able to turn this knowledge into usable skills which are capable to transform the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Introducing themselves previously, so maybe I will spare that time, but just perhaps to do just say who the commissioners very quickly are here. It's myself, Commissioner Zimande. I head the Monitoring and Evaluation Committee of the Commission. On my right hand side, the Commissioner Elvi Sirani, whom you've interacted with previously, who heads up the Committee on Leadership and Management Practices, and of course, Commissioner Dr. Osho, that you don't get to see in many times. He is our Commissioner based in the Free State, as well as Commissioner Sidani Ngozi, the one you know very well also, who comes to this committee very often. With us, we've got the CDGs who head up the various branches of the commission that support the committees that I've just outlined. I will ask the DDG and for the ex-DDG to present, but that to say that we've done very well in the previous financial year, and just also to underline the fact that we've received a clean audit for the fourth year running. Thank you very much. Obviously, we couldn't afford to embarrass the committee as the oversight body for the public service. We need to lead by example. And like everybody else, we have been requested to talk to them. And we are actually quite delighted with the way the various stakeholders are coming on board in terms of interacting with us. And I would at this stage not take any other time, and after the activity in lieu of the time to go straight on to the reason for our being here at 2VG.
Thank you, Commissioner. And then I was in the last and I guess the commissioner is here to peer for it and qualified to clean audit period for 2014-15 financial year. The PSC made strides in achieving its targets during the 2014-15 financial year through implementation of inner engineering business processes as well as streamlining some of the work of the commission. Ensuring that the PSC supports stakeholders in a structured manner, the PSC adopted a cluster approach which resulted in commissioner meet at the national office supporting particular clusters of departments in all key performance areas of the PSC. Likewise, the provincial-based commissioners support provincial departments in their respective provinces. In pursuit of to operate efficiently, the PSC reviewed its governance rules, which were gazetted with an implementation date of the 1st of April 2015. The PSC also increased its visibility through inspections, citizen forum, provincial stakeholder engagement, and the development of state conference. Then with regard to overall performance of the commission, and the following slide shows that in terms of financial appropriation, the commission has targeted 26 million, and then during the period under review, we spent 225 million. Which means in terms of the other expenditure, we only had 0.1%, which is within the now. But in terms of the achievements of the commission the commission achieved 83% of its performance targets, and then we had six which were partially achieved, and 11% which were not achieved. The partial achievement includes investigation of complaints and management of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, which is regarded as an ongoing work. And the budget was also utilized to implement other projects which were not initially funded. In terms of the programs of the Commission, and wherein the first one is administration, which provides overall management of the Commission a centralized support services. And in this particular program, the key achievements were the following. As indicated, because it is the program that manages the finances of the commission, is the one that we say that achieved the unqualified clean audit for 2014 financial year. A vacancy rate of below 10% was maintained and 7% as at the 1st of March 2015. The commission exceeded the national target of 50% for the employment of women in the SMS level by 3.4%. In terms of increased visibility of the PSC activities, the following activities were covered through media. Inspections at Tibico, Krisahani, and Belenon hospitals. There was a development of state conference that was conducted during the period under review, and which also generated a great deal of visibility for the commission. The celebration of International Anti-Corruption Day, which we do on annual basis on the 9th of December. Instructions on learner teacher support material was also conducted by the commission. And stakeholder engagement sessions were held in Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and the Mpumalanga provinces. And still within this particular program, where we were saying 107 million was allocated to this particular program, and 107 million were indeed spent, and only 0.2% from this program was underspent. So this particular program achieved 76% of its targets and outcomes. With regard to deviations, we have indicated that delay in the payment of invoices were due to disputes regarding the invoices, and the representativity target in respect of people with disability was not met, and then in terms of it was mainly because of the MOUs that we had and then that delayed the performance of the commission. In terms of the regular program of the commission, which is the leadership and management practices, which purpose is promoting sound public leadership, human resource management, and labor relations and labor practices. With regard to key achievements of the particular program, 90%, which is 770 of grievances, were concluded during the period under review. And then during that period under review, the following were some of the key achievements. Fact-sheet on grievance trends for 2013 and 14 financial year. A roundtable discussion on the causes of PMDF-related grievances was voted.
an important assessment of the implementation of the policy framework on the appointment of ministerial staff in national and provincial departments. There was also a fact sheet on the employment equity profile of SMS members within public service. And research was also conducted on key aspects of public service leadership in a developmental state. And we also had selected case reports from the previous financial years, which were presented to the EAs and heads of departments and other stakeholders, including this particular portfolio committee and others. This particular program was allocated 85,748,742 was spent, and only 6,000 was underspent from this particular program, which amounted to 0.02%. In terms of deviations from this particular program, budgetary constraints conducting more roundtable discussions, delay during data collection and analysis, and haste in obtaining information from departments. In response to the needs of the stakeholders as well as due to budget concerns, the PSC had to constantly prioritize its outputs and to consider ad hoc projects. With regard to the third program, which is monitoring evaluation, and the purpose of the particular program is establishing a high standard of service delivery, monitoring and good governance in the public service. And the key achievements of this program are the following. The PSC hosted a high-level conference on the developmental state, which is part of operationalizing the developmental plan on the PSC platform, where a discussion document on the character of the public service and its performance was debated by key stakeholders. This was followed by a strategic framework document that contains specific recommendations of the PSC on the direction of change of the public service to make it better instrumental to serve South Africa and its people. The PSC will pursue the adoption of these recommendations for engagement with key stakeholders. Responded to requests from Parliament and selected provincial legislators to provide information pertaining to the state of the public service performance. Inspections were conducted in some of the key hospitals in the country, such as Rob Ferreira in Mpumalanga, Bizalomi in the Free State, Tibiko and Kisahani hospitals in Gauteng, to assess the delivery of healthcare services and the services rendered to the public. Inspections were also conducted in the education sector in all provinces to determine the availability of learner and teacher support material, as well as the state of readiness of schools to commence with teaching and learning at the beginning of 2015 academic year. With regard to financial resources, 37,335,000 was allocated to this particular branch by the Commission, and 37,308,000 were spent, and only 5,000 were regarded as under expenditure. And indeed, 92% in terms of performance targets and outcomes were achieved. In terms of deviation, delays in terms of meeting resources for the state project, which was a key priority of the Commission. With regard to the fourth and last program of the Commission, which is integrity and anti-corruption, and whose purpose is undertaking public administration investigations, promoting a high standard of professional ethics conduct among public servants, and contributing to the prevention and combating of corruption. In terms of our key achievements, 57% of the complaints lodged with the PSC through the complaints rules were finalized. Such is on the case for finalized misconduct and the recovery of money lost through financial misconduct for 2015 financial year was also finalized. Discussion document on what constitutes financial misconduct was developed. 100% scrutiny of financial disclosure form of members of the senior management services in the public service was conducted. Management of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, wherein 64% of the cases reported to the Public Service Commission through the National Anti-Corruption Hotline were closed, and 333 million rand from perpetrators of corruption in this regard was recovered since the inception of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. In terms of the report on the nature and extent of the protection of using powers and investigation of progress finalized, and in the analysis of the economies of corruption and the state of integrity in the public service report were finalized. In terms of the budget that was allocated to this particular branch, 45,655,000 was allocated, and the actual spend was 45,663,000, and only 2,000, which amounted to 0%. sentence of an exchange. In terms of deviations, delays and submissions of required information by department stakeholders increase the scope of the commission. I think because the chair took a decision that this is the other PSC has already presented, we were not to warn you to finish it because it's about the first and second quarter of the conference. But you know what I will quickly go to is to talk about the identified challenges during the field under review, and then which were mainly the following. The respect was an investigation conducted by the PSC are likely dependent on input from the department. The PSC will need to exercise its powers and its support to the department to ensure a timely finalization of such projects. In terms of targeting of the respective EEs to avail themselves, the PSC started to engage with the chief of staff in the ministry to ensure that reports are timely presented. At national level, the PSC's current temporary accommodation is on 8 months leave, and efforts are underway to acquire permanent accommodation for the PSC, and the case is with the selected provinces. And with regards to the fact that the PSC pays within months to accept this registry in particular database to be able to conduct scrutiny with regards to financial disclosures of senior managers, the PSC will engage with the department in this regard. And as a result of limited human and financial resources, ad hoc requests from stakeholders that require the PSC to conduct further or additional research places a bit of a strain on its financial resources. I think I'll just quickly talk about budgetary matters, particularly to indicate to the honorable members that overview of the financial performance of the PSC as of the 1st August 2015 is presented on the slide, the programs of the Public Service Commission. Perhaps I'll just indicate that the PSC has received additional funds of 4.3 million in September 2015 for the 2015-16 financial year to cover a portion of the compensation of employees by just support emanating from 2015 public sector wage agreement.
Can you just stop the DT, because the DT now is talking about the 2015-2016 budgetary review, which we don't need now. However, that should not stop us from raising questions, because our questions at the end of the meeting, they should be covered as recommendations. So the department might not necessarily respond because we want Polisalid to do that. I'll also propose that whatever that has been written here, they should submit in writing. The minister should submit in writing. If you are in agreement with my proposal, that we pose questions which will also form part of the recommendation, and request the minister to respond in writing. Agreed? Okay. I will start. The National Court Government, in terms of our engagement with the Auditor General's office, we have highlighted the issue of irregular procurement, and that you don't have a system to monitor your contracts. Yeah. And then because have you noted that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. GPSA, you are not compliant with the information technology. And then this issue is very, it predates the past 4 years. And then also that you're still struggling to pay your service providers within 30 days as prescribed by the law. The issue about HR plans that were not reviewed annually as well. And then in terms of vacancies, the 20% of unfilled vacancies and also our senior management vacancies. So you, these are the vacancies that must be filled. You can't wish them away. So we recommend that you fill them within this financial year. Let me pause there and allow member to continue where I have left. Madam Minister, she is number one. Honorable Love, she should be number two. That's the middle, that's order.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. And thank you from the committee to take a decision that, you know, we can't just, you know, make the people that are accountable for this budget not to be accountable. Because the people that are all here, they don't put their signatures to the budget. So having said that, I just want to say the PPSA is a Chairperson, I'm not worried. I'm just embarrassed more than anything. You know, the DPSA is supposed to be the captain of ethics, etiquette, discipline, proper procedures, and just everything. Now, what the DPSA, not the official that has just done the presentation here. I'm talking about the people that are invested in the power to run this department, which is the minister, the deputy minister, and the DG, which I'm not here. Is that you look at the variance. You know, money is, when we, first and foremost, South Africa does not have money. When then we start allocating money, which is an economic activity, it's because we assume that the department has done a proper plan. Today now, it's unfortunate that your bosses, your principals are not here. Your planning is so bad, the PSA. And I want to report as is to your bosses. It is so bad, Chairperson, that all programs of the PSA, they've got variances. If you look at program number one of the DPSA, I'm talking about the money here, because you are going for the BRR. Because of your poor planning, the money is failing to follow the needs. In other words, allocation of the money is, or the resources that is not following the needs. Now, if you're writing the economy, something on a plane, 101, failing at whatever math that your professor was going to give to you, the principal then. Program number one. You're saying savings. I don't know if the minister and the deputy minister is leading this department, they understand what is the meaning about savings. Savings come from an activity where the money has generated a profit, or investment has generated a profit. For a department to come and say, because it has failed to utilize the fiscal status that allocated to you, and call it a saving. That's a problem. That's a serious problem. And you have done this with all your programs. I want to tell you, Chairperson, one by one. Problem number one. You are saying you have got a set. Now, first and foremost, you want to buy the furniture. You decide to sit somewhere in the committee, you decide to take to buy the furniture. I don't know what are the process and the pace and the time that was through. But for some matter, that is in the air, not buying the province, the furniture. And you expected that it's all over the little town for you. You're not going to get this man. So in other words, you're going to sit without the furniture. Because we are here, we're not going to go to the podium in that house and make ourselves fools. That you plan for the center and you are planning the public works. You should have knew whoever was responsible for applying for that supply of the center from the public, he or she was supposed to know that there are restrictions. There is a law that is going with that. And make a mistake and go back and say, but the public never make us aware that there were those restrictions. It is the function of whoever officer who was supposed to, and the question of the minister to make that why it was not that, why are we not getting a new minister? So it's then we are calling it a saving. It's not a saving. It's a poor planning. Now, let's go to problem number two. You think problem number two, yes, your money was spent acceptable. I don't know what is acceptable when it comes to the money. Because when you waste the money, you're talking about the numbers here. You're talking about underspending and overspending. So acceptable for me, I don't accept it's acceptable. I don't know what you're saying there. You go to your problem number three. Problem number three, there is this committee, Public Service Remuneration Review Commission, which was appointed for a particular reason. And it was given a particular minute to operate within a particular specific time. Now, we've seen this commission being extended time and time and time and time. But when we read here, we realize that somehow, someway, there is poor standing between the department, the CPSA, which is supposed to give the money to this committee, and making sure that it's up and running. And as a result, you are saying you must roll over. We're not going to roll over. So that the president is aware that the DPSA is failing to plan properly. You have to go to the president. And the only way to go to the president is that you take it to the house. We're saying, president, this is what has happened. The DPSA has to plan, and you appointed the commission. This never started. It was extended once. It was extended two. Now it has been extended for the second time. Why are we there? Why? Now, problem number four. I don't know what to say. Why do you pay services to this? Who is supposed to pay? Why then you get to pay services to then you save your savings? Okay? I don't pay you. Well, I don't remember then, but it's my savings. It cannot be. You have saved to touch the top of the expenses to pay whoever is giving you the service in this particular sector. And if you don't pay, and then you're calling it a service. And then I think it is acceptable. The other one is problem number five. Problem number five is the spending is always within the acceptable spending. Then you say, however, the slightly underspending. In finance, we don't talk like that. In finance, we talk like, I must congratulate the Public Service Commission, the PPG. The way you put your numbers, you make us understand what is short, what is not short. The language here, the PSA, I don't know. I'm asking in terms of being there, slightly underspending because the study that was supposed to be taken for the particular to consent or never to have come on. What are they saying? You said they're incompetent. And we must go to the house and say that. Because it's beyond us. We must start fighting this, and then we must start fighting back and say, oh, we can't eat it. We have to say this is what, we just want to go to our recommendations. And then you go to problem number five. You see now, the National Treasury made a decision that the CPSI must be separated, it must be independent because of reason 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is what the Treasury, in fact, I think together with the DPSA, then they sit down, they agree. Right? The two departments are separated. And when they were separated, they knew, according to this report, physically they are not separated, that's what you gave. Ms. Kadebe is still a child of the DPSA. But she finds herself not being having an accommodation, not a space to work. I can't work because when whoever was applying or had boyfriend was applying, she was not supposed to have boyfriend, supposed to be the PSA, applying for the
for the procurement of additional space with the DPSA, we're not supposed to exceed the 20%, or we're not supposed to exceed the amount of the lease that we're using. But because of that, we didn't know. Now we need a renewal on the road roof. I go check it in. I know my support parents, I know what it's talking about. This I don't know what to call it. It goes on and on and on and on. It goes on and on and on and on and on. The bottom line is all your problems have got rolled over on. All your problems, it says you fail to do the proper planning. All your rollover funds, it says you don't even read the treasury regulations properly before you do application for space or for furniture. All your over, it can say something. But now that you decided to take the delegated call to come to us and say, you need to take the planning information back to your boss, but you can't answer. I don't think your boss has the power to answer what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Chair, I have a number of questions, and I want to just say again, because I said it earlier, and a lot of the people who are currently in the room weren't here, that this is my first meeting, and I'm on a learning curve, so please take some of the questions that I'm asking in that spirit. Even you might all know something, and I certainly don't. Starting with DPSA, I know I'm just trying to get some level of understanding of targets, and I know the targets go back to the annual performance plan, and not necessarily the annual report, and that's when they should be questioned. But when it comes to the annual report, now, taking somebody like myself who's new to the DPSA and is trying to go through the annual report thinking that I'm going to get a grip on what the DPSA actually does, I don't at all. Because almost every target involves the production of reports. So it says target achieved, report written. But there is absolutely no indication of the contents of the report. So for instance, it might be compliance with disciplinary measures, report written. And it doesn't tell me anything. So where is the information on the contents of the report? Where is that information? Because to me that will talk far more to what the DPSA is actually supposed to achieve than just saying we wrote the report. So where is the content of the report? Where can I access that? So I'd like to find out about flow. I've come from the Department's from Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, and I'm aware that just in Eastern Cape, which is the province that I come from, over the last few years, or there is a backlog of 12,000, over 12,000 fellow applications, irrespective incapacity leave, for teachers, just in the Eastern Cape. I mean, the backlog is massive. So this is something that has had massive, massive budgetary implications, and certainly implications in respect of the delivery of a public service. Education is what I know about. Now, it's indicated in the report on page 220 that suitable persons or institutions will be approached to bid. What is the current situation? Has anything been done to cover the situation in the meantime? We haven't had any office managers in place. I'm using an example to try and get an understanding of the depth to which DPSA goes and believe acceptable. On page 561, there is, and it's in one of the slides as well, there's talk of advocacy program on standardized delegation process. And it says that 561 employees were involved. Now, just having a look yesterday, it seems that forming part of the public service, there are 78 departments. I'm not sure. That's national and provincial. There was a number that came up, 78 departments. 561 employees seems to be very, very few. If you're trying to implement a new standardized system across the entire public service. But I've got no idea when you tell me 561 people, targeted that they might be advocacy, you spoke to 561 people and you say the government was achieved. I have absolutely no idea whether to count for that or not. On what statistical basis did you decide 561 was an achievable achievement of the target? But that's just as an example. When the advocacy is taking place, when DPA develops new programs, norms and standards, whatever it might be, and goes to the various departments and tries to implement them, can I just understand, and I understand that it will be on an overview sort of level, how deeply you go into the department to try and get these new systems in place. One of the first questions I asked Chairperson coming to this portfolio was how many public servants are there? And I note that I actually can't find that answer. It's not in the annual report, which surprised me. I have Googled substantially and I can't find it. It appears that there is a website which is called Woolland Letter, which appears to be controlled by Treasury. It appears also that I can't have access to that Woolland Letter website, but it appears that the information about the number of public servants and other key indicators, it says on the website, is available on that website. Can we just give some indication whether we can indeed, as portfolio committee members, have access to that for those key indicators of the public service? Chair, I'll try and be quick on the other questions. The CPSI I'm still trying to understand. My question is simply, how do you identify your projects? It appears that you can meet every target because you should choose your project as, you know, the ones you can do. The National School of Government, no targets related to training were achieved, and that's the core business. Obviously, that's the core business. And the National School of Government must exist for a reason, I would assume. So my question then is, how does this actually impact on the functioning, or in the view of the National School of Government? How does this failure to meet targets, for various reasons, I understand that, actually impact on performance of the public service? It certainly impacted on the induction program. How does that ultimately impact? I see your targets for this financial year are substantially higher. I hope that they will be achieved. With the Public Service Commission, I have just two short questions. One was, what was this, and this is something that other people might know, but what was this developmental state project to which resources had to be allocated? So many of the targets that were not met, it says it couldn't be met because resources had to be allocated to the developmental state project. What was this thing and why was it so important to the country? And then it's indicated that the State of the Public Service Report and the Public Service Barometer were removed from the indicators. Why? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I'll be very quick. Honorable Lamini, you took the words out of my mouth, but I'll try and clarify what the Honorable Member was talking about in terms of poor planning. Because I think it goes to the heart of some of the problems you will be encountering down the line. If you look at program 2, Human Resource Management and Development, and you look at the budget that you had with the 36 million or something, and then you have the other expenditure of 36 million left, and then you save, and what you use the word again, and save 48,000. But then you have 5 targets, and you achieve 3 targets, and you finally achieve the other 2. But then, 99.9% if you want, of the budget has been spent. Now, let's keep the other program 3, 2, 4, 5, go right at the end. Program 5, where you have this huge budget of 253 million and so on and so forth, but you end up with an underspend of 4 million and you have 30 targets to achieve them all, and your success rate is 10%, I mean 100%, and you save over 4 million rand. Now that is the kind of thing that the Honorable Member is talking about. If you are able to do all of these things with all of these savings, who knows where you spend the money, when you spend a lot of it, but you don't achieve your target. And that's the problem. That's the problem that we have. That what you're giving us does not give us a fair reflection of the money you're asking for. Is it really the money you need to do what you're supposed to do? Because you can do those things with less, or sometimes you have lots of money and then you lose a little bit of it. And you see, this is the issue that the Honourable Member was saying. So if someone can help me understand that, then I'll be very happy. Thank you, Jay.
Sorry, that's a boss
mistake. Oh, it's a boss now.
Sorry.
Please, can you see it? You're supposed to monitor it when
you're
done.
You're welcome, Mr. Blue.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay. This is what we call handing over.
Oh. I can miss the moment.
A few questions, particularly for the National School of Government in Marshallville. I read on page 20 of your annual report that in terms of your training performance, which I would imagine is your core business, that's why the School of Government was rebranded and relaunched some 2 years ago. That the actual training numbers have dropped from 2 years ago, where it was 45,000, down now to 38,000. These are up from the previous year, but we're still, it seems to be, far below what is really needed if we want to make an impact in the public service. The second thing is certainly that very same page and under the same graph you say, out of 55 key performance targets, 23 were achieved, or 22 were not achieved. So it really seems to me worrying that if we're sitting here with an entity that is really underperforming, even when measured against the target that the entity has set for itself. In terms of the trading account, in the previous year, the income of training was 160 million and now we're down to 150 million. So again, the thing is not, as I believe, what we require in our country. But then also, if I can, just in terms of your presentation, I've noticed a few things. I'm still concerned about the compulsory induction program. I'm concerned that public servants may be jeopardized in their careers by the failure of the entities responsible to offer them a compulsory induction program. It's unfair that some people have the benefit of a compulsory induction program and others will never be able to undergo that program because our outputs are just far too low. Then second, in terms of this, can you just tell me what is the status of the National School of Government in terms of the South African education landscape? Are you an institution of higher education? Are you one of the 23 that they now became 25 institutions of higher learning, tertiary institutions? Are you in the field of the further education, TVET and so on? Please, if you can clarify that. Then you also referred to a scheme whereby you teach that rural people, I don't know if they would have really appeared in there. She are also concerned that we go out, we can people, and my impression has been, and correct me if I'm not wrong, that these may be unemployed people. And that we train people and that we create expectations that, you know, now that I'm trained, I will have an income, I will be employed and so on, and that it may lead to high frustration levels. Also, if you could just tell me your relationship with ISICA and how many of your qualifications are accredited or then signed off by the quality assurance body responsible for those vocational training programs. And then, again, it seems to me as if you've got a problem in paying within 30 days your service providers. And then if I just one question to the Public Service Commission. While I appreciate that you also do some inspections and so on, I am concerned about the areas which you've chosen for that.
the reason why I'm concerned is one of the serious challenges that we have in public service now is duplication of services. Two people doing very much the same kind of work, rendering the same kind of service, but in the end we are just putting an additional burden on public service. For example, you said you've done some inspections of schools. Now I do know that there's a special unit by the name of NEDU. I do know that some of our education department, at least some of them, have got what they call whole school evaluation programs, that they also have, therefore, quality management programs for schools, etc. Now, unless we're using the same tools, if the Department of Education says, well, when we come to a school, we want to see this under the policy on admission, etc., etc. And if you come to a school and you inspect something else, meaning your definition of quality is slightly different from that of the Department of Basic Education and the Education Department, then we are just going to throw a lot of people. It's just going to, people are saying, confused people are like, hey, what are we, whom are we listening to? Public Service Commission, the Provincial Education Department, the National Education Unit. So please assure me today that you are using the exact same instrument developed then at a national level. And the same, it was my privilege to be introduced recently to a local medical school here in the Western Cape. And I'll take on a tour of this facility. And to me, I just got the impression that, that the amount of regulations in a health facility that people are comply with will be a study itself. So again, I'm asking myself, what gives the Public Service Commission that particular benefit that they can speak from a position of authority when they come to go to a health facility such as a hospital to say, listen, we evaluate this hospital and we believe that this hospital should attend to this and this. Or are you just going in for basic things like queue management and so on, which you could have done at the local court and so on. So if you really want to produce a port of quality, and I think my colleague referred to this, that one of our questions is really, you fulfilled your mandate, you believe, you fulfilled your target because you produced a port, but there is no indication of the quality of that report. There is really no indication of the quality of your inspections at schools and at health facilities. And that, leaves us with some uncertainty as to whether you are really achieving the improvements in the public service that we would be hoping for. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. For you, Chair, Dr. Fernandez, good day to her. What is the particular
I was requesting honorable member that my immediate left to talk to us also, but doesn't matter.
Thank you, Chief. In terms of confused. Normally when you evaluate, say for example the quality of teaching, you have a clinical approach whereby you say to the people what you would like to find in a good school. What would you like to find? And obviously again the core function in a school is the education function, the teaching and learning. So a large part of that should be, I must be equipped to go and sit in a math teacher's class, and I must be able to evaluate whether that teacher is really preparing students, for a career in mathematics, really preparing students to be able to, achieve in a certificate examination. I cannot, as I sit here, go and evaluate a math teacher's work, because I am not a math teacher myself. And that is what I'm just concerned about, that if
if I go to a school as the representative of the provincial education department, I would be looking for certain aspects and I would be picking certain boxes. But if somebody else comes in there and they want to tick different boxes, perhaps boxes deal more with where the school has got a sports field, where the school has got a fence and so on, then, which are also important things, but the two chiclets make a difference vastly, then I believe you will confuse people as to, you know, what is your view of quality, what is the provincial officer's view of quality, and then we are potentially doing more damage than good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On the issue of the Tucson City Center, we know of Maponya Mall as being the best model. Are there plans to cascade this to other areas? And with a special focus to SWAT areas if it is possible. The other issue that I'm interested in, Chef Hansen, is the misrepresentation of qualifications, which seems to be on the rise. What is the effort of the department in developing a water health policy to deal with this? Maybe the PSC can also report in terms of the investigation regarding this issue or the prevention, so to speak. That goes also to the verification of qualifications. Where actually is a special focus with regard to the verification of qualifications? Is it before 1994 or is it now? Is it before or post 1994? I also had a question with regard to the unearthing of innovations that are listed for us. National School of Government, I just want to find out whether there is cooperation between yourselves and the private institutions of higher learning. Is there a working relation, a particular way of working relation, to an extent that we have seen there's a tendency by departments to send their employees to private, higher to private institutions other than the National School of Government. What creates that? What causes that? And how can we deal with it? Because my understanding is that our National School of Government is a hidden priority in terms of achieving goals. The National Anti-Corruption Hotline. The department has indicated that they have partially achieved their targets in this regard, which I think is an indictment in the face of the problem that we have regarding corruption. Are there systems that have been put in place to address this? And lastly, on the leadership and management practice, do we have programs or methods of encouraging management to raise their grievances without being victimized? Because I want to believe that the raising of grievances contributes to a healthy working relation in any department. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. You know, when we were dealing with sometimes last year, dealing with the 2013 voting report, one was looking forward for session. And even this morning, when we were dealing with DME, I thought it's going to be a fresh air once more again. Unfortunately, it's not. But my problem is that the one voters who are here, after the one voters who are actually affecting back, probably general couldn't care who must ask for some. Class. Where does it go wrong? Because I strongly believe that the vacancy which was caused by the late minister and the legal resident team has got nothing to do with what we are dealing with. Has got nothing at all. Because you are the one who makes this government to take and manage.
in compliance. But unfortunately, here we are. Unfortunately, the lead of this delegation today is Gajin Dabaki, and I know when we're dealing with the TILA program, also he was there, and also we're not so easy. I think he was up now to act in one of these things, because all the time when we were sent here, he picked up bad news. I'm just saying that again, I want to make sure that I don't forget God. But I'm just saying what I like to do here now. From the agent's report this morning, we are the leader of the public safety as a whole throughout the country. But the way you comply has accepted, it left the Africa. For an example, the level 9 and I think it's now level 9 and 12 in terms of filling of vacancies. There is no problem with that. But going to the senior management one, there's inconsistent in terms of turnaround time of filling of those vacancies. So the question would be, how jacked up is your HR plan or strategy rather in its totality? Because in health matters they fall under that one, that HR strategy and plan and business plan. Which is something that we need to look at. Even the personal program that we have as a department want to overstretch it, as Honorable Lovemore has asked about the data of our public safety, but there is information. But I'm just saying that also the issue of inaccuracy of that information, it's because of the system that we're using, and I'm sure Makate is taking note of that one, and they have to pay for that exercise. Chair, one would not stress any further the issue of ICT risk management plan. If us as DPSA, we don't have as a family now, because what I'm raising to all entities of DPSA, including the mother or the father. I try to understand the acting DG when you speak in terms of finance, the issue of savings that are going to be rolled over, but I know that there's no rollover. That is why you are better to discuss in area. And you know better than them and the friends if I may use it here. And I don't know why it's been used. Let alone that the things that are declared are deviations of our predetermined objectives of the department. And it becomes an issue then. Because who signs that after you have given us the program that you are going to do that, and it's only been discovered when the annual report is concluded in the public document. It reflects back to us. As the ruling party, if I may say it, Chair, unfortunately, we have to take the blame for our leaders. Chair, I would request, Chair, that to agree with you that we receive a written report and the principals take responsibility of that, because we are dealing with the water under the bridge anyway. It's like we're renting because we engage oxygen. That we do that. But also moving forward on our, I think it was the case, it's not late, you said, to pick up the point of pillar program, to get a presentation. I'm sure the my dear general have done some work on that based on our previous engagement on the matter. And also picking up on the matters of TASA. But also, Chair, which is my last point, is the issue of uniformity of making presentations. It's going to have moving forward that DPSA, you take all the responsibility, excluding PSA, in terms of other entities that fall within you. so that we know then when we're dealing with questions, then we're dealing with the responsible people out there after. For the purpose of this exercise moving forward. And other than that, well, I'm sure we are, we see the light through the tunnel one of these movies. The last one is the issue that we generally talk to check. It's where there are disagreement with aging and what supports your disagreement with aging. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As proposed in my own agreed by members, but in the way you give me this one.
But you're looking very good.
Yes, I'm not saying that. Okay. We're not going to take another process. We're going to end this part of the meeting, and then we would want the minister to give us certain responses that it should be. But this issue that will be also making me follow up. Maybe we need to also rearrange the agenda of the committee and agree on issues that we want to prioritize. I think this exercise also gave us an opportunity to then reflect and check whether I'm on the right track and are we achieving the targets that the, are the departments achieving the targets that they've set themselves. So in that note, I want to thank you very much for your patience. And also maybe apologize if any one of you arrived early, because we were scheduled to present in the morning, but Minister Hadebe yesterday in the evening requested that they present this because they had a cabinet meeting to attend. And also to report that the Deputy Minister was here in the morning. I think the time changes were not communicated to her. She was here this morning and then she went to I think I've been asking you know what. So in that note, thank you very much Acting DG as well for your efforts. We're looking forward to written responses for Tuesday 12 o'clock. I hope the minister will be back by then. We'll be back. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Members, can you please remain?
Okay, so from here I'm going to the office room.
Okay.